Good Friday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Another light thunder shower rumbling through the FM metro area. Looking at past radar, it looks like maybe three different bands we've seen since about 11 o'clock last night. Should be ending shortly. Possibility we could see some more thunderstorms throughout the day today. The best chance will come tonight. And pay attention to WDAY Radio. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will keep you posted because some of those storms tonight could be severe. Download the mobile app. Take us anywhere you go. If you do not have that on your phone yet, you want to be aware of what's happening, especially if you're heading to the lakes, maybe in a camper or tent. Be aware that some storms could be severe tonight. Otherwise, enjoy a nice warm day today, 87 for our high temp, and it's going to be a hot weekend. Find some water, 94 our high temp today, tomorrow, and then cooling down to about 85 on Sunday. A teenager was shot and hurt during a drive-by shooting in Moorhead yesterday morning. 17-year-old was rushed to the hospital after the shooting in the 1100 block of 12th Street South. Police say they believe it was a targeted shooting. Two men now face federal charges tied to a bank burglary in Arthur, North Dakota in January. Cass County deputies responded to an active alarm at Bank North on January 7th and found the ATM had been forced into. Three men were arrested following a high-speed chase. Two of them, Tucker St. Croix and Zachary Husers, face federal bank larceny charges. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven says an agreement in principle has now been reached with the Department of Veterans Affairs on a final design for a welcome center at the Fargo National Cemetery. It will take up almost 6,800 square feet of space at the cemetery. Hoeven expects a groundbreaking will take place in the fall. The VA has also agreed to manage and maintain that facility. Formal charges have been filed against 30-year-old Jacob Schmidt following a tense standoff in Jamestown earlier this week. Schmidt faces eight charges, including six felonies, among them terrorizing, child neglect, and illegal firearms possession. Police responded early Wednesday to a report that Schmidt had threatened a woman and was inside a home with their two-year-old child. Due to the presence of a firearm and the child, the special operations team was called in. After several hours, Schmitz was arrested without injury. A 16-year-old girl was seriously hurt in a crash yesterday morning in Barnes County. Happened about a mile east of Rogers. Authorities say the teen driver of a pickup ran a stop sign and collided with the rear tank of a westbound semi. More than 80% of businesses recently passed an alcohol compliance check in Fargo. Fargo Gas Public Health says although the majority abided by the law when it comes to selling alcohol to minors, a half dozen businesses failed. They include the Bismarck and Empire Taverns downtown, a Chili's, and a few Applebee's. All of them are first-time violators within the past year and face $500 fines. Scam texts impersonating the North Dakota Department of Transportation are targeting cell phones across Cass County. Detective Joe Gress says both work and personal phones of county employees received phishing texts Thursday, claiming unpaid fines and license suspension threats. The message is linked to a fake DOT website designed to steal your credit card information. Authorities remind you the DOT will never contact you about fines via text, only through official mail. A Grand Forks County correctional officer was arrested for smuggling contraband into the jail. A jail search turned up a cell phone and charger inside an inmate's mattress. Juan Lopez is facing a felony charge of delivering an electronic device to an inmate. Efforts across North Dakota are being made to improve roads in rural farming communities. Lawmakers widened the eligibility of the Ag Infrastructure Grant Program to include towns with fewer than 1,500 people. Improvements for roads and bridges that are difficult for farmers to use will be targeted for repairs. And North Dakota farmers are struggling to purchase cropland. The state's cropland prices are up 10.5% compared to this time last year. An NDSU Extension specialist says the increased prices are caused by high net farm incomes, which in turn lead to higher demand. PGA Tour, the Travelers Championship, that's taking place in Cromwell, Connecticut. Austin Eckroat and Scotty Scheffler are tied for the lead at 8-under. There's a three-way tie for third at 6-under par. Golfers begin teeing off at 7 this morning. Tom Hoagie tied for 43rd at even par. He tees off his second round at 12:05 this afternoon. Minnesota Twins took down the Cincinnati Reds 12-5 yesterday afternoon. Chris Paddock gave up four runs over five earned innings, earning the win. The bullpen struck out seven batters over four innings, only giving up one run. Ryan Jeffers powered Minnesota with a home run and four RBIs. Byron Buxton added two solo homers. Cody Clements hit a two-run homer as well. Trevor Larnach, Carlos Correa, Ty France, and Brooks Lee each chipped in an RBI. Twins return home to Target Field for a weekend series against the Milwaukee Brewers. First pitch for the opening game of the series will be tonight at 7:10. Joe Ryan will be on the mound for Minnesota. FM Redhawks split two games against the Sioux City Explorers yesterday. The Redhawks fell 3-2. Game two, though, they won 5-3. Kyle Kreger gave up three runs over six innings while picking up the win. Bullpen tossed three shutout innings. Juan Fernandez hit a homer and drove in two runs. Dylan Thomas and Miguel Ojeda Jr. each added an RBI. Redhawks now off to Sioux Falls to battle the Canaries in a weekend series that begins tonight. First pitch set for 7:05. The NBA Finals, my oh my, that has gotten interesting. We are going the distance. Jace Denman arriving.
Yeah,
that's good. This is what I like to see.
Yeah, I mean, I felt that after Oklahoma City tied it two games apiece, I thought each team was going to take the next game at home. Last night was a bit iffy in a sense because you didn't know if Tyrese Haliburton was going to play, but I saw pregame that he had passed the strength test on that strained calf, and he was good to go. But last night, just a great shooting performance from Indiana. They win 108-91, and they forced that game seven. Six Pacers were in double figures, led by Obi Toppin's 20 points. Game seven will be, I guess it's going to be on Sunday, thankfully. I was afraid we're going to have to wait until Monday. It'll be Sunday night, tip-off at 7 p.m., game coverage on ABC.
Who do you want to win? I've been pulling for the Pacers.
Pulling for the Pacers just because I think that franchise has never won an NBA title. They've won ABA titles, as I've mentioned before. A lot of people, I really like their grit. They're an underdog in this situation, but I mean, just the way they played in the postseason, I mean, they look like a team that is kind of destined to win it. I'm not going to say that news media has been anointing Oklahoma City as the next champion and the next potential dynasty, but I mean, as a Timberwolves fan, I wasn't real thrilled with how they officiated some of those games for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, but maybe it's just because the Thunder beat the Wolves.
That's probably why I'm pulling for the Pacers.
It's probably a large part of it, but at the same time, I think Indiana, in essence, would be kind of a better story. Oklahoma City, I mean, they're one of those franchises.
They got their time. They're a young team.
Well, they had a big three. They had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden on their team. They went to a finals once, and they couldn't win it against, I believe it was Miami. And they haven't been back to the finals since. And when they had those three players, they were able to start trading those guys for younger players, mm-hmm. for picks. I mean, it's kind of like they really loaded up. I mean, Utah, you know, potentially could be the next type of team like that because they've got a ton of first-round picks themselves. You know, so Oklahoma City's been built the right way for the most part. They've drafted players. They've drafted Jalen Williams. They drafted Minnesota's own Chet Holmgren. Mm-hmm. They did trade for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as part of sending Paul George out to L.A., but I don't know. The Pacers just seem like a better story when you got a guy that was supposedly overranked, et cetera. You know, you had just these guys that just seemed to be real gritty kind of. I mean, Obi Toppin was traded away from the Knicks because not necessarily that they gave up on him. They didn't think he was going to be as good. And he's a big part of this Pacers team. Miles Turner's been in Indiana for a long time, so I don't know. I just feel myself pulling for the Pacers, but again, you always find yourself pulling for one team over the other. But
I do cheer for Chet Holmgren, because he's from Minnesota.
Yeah, I get that.
But Pacers, I'm hoping we'll see Sunday.
We'll see Sunday. Yeah, we'll find out. We'll be able to talk about that Monday morning, obviously, and then on PTS going into Tuesday when our next PTS will be. College World Series, obviously, Big Game James, big fan of that. As of coming back from there, from the past weekend, the championship series is the best of three, which, you know, they haven't always done that. It was always just the whole tournament in general is a double elimination. So depending on how you got to that championship game, depending on if you had to beat a team twice or not, the way it's set up now, it's just a best of three. The number 13 seeded Coastal Carolina Chanticleers take on the 6-seed LSU Tigers. LSU had to get past, Arkansas the other day to advance to this championship series in just a remarkable game. They were up 2-0, I believe. Arkansas got three runs in one inning to take a 3-2 lead. LSU tied it up in the bottom of the ninth, and then you went to extra innings, or maybe it was actually in the ninth inning, excuse me. Arkansas went back ahead 5-3, and then in the bottom of that inning, LSU got three runs and walked them off to go home winners and into the championship series. So Coastal Carolina, LSU, obviously the only two teams remaining, but they were two of the top-ranked teams into the tournament, so we'll see how it goes. Tonight, you can tune in to Primetime Sports from 6:30 to 7 p.m. with Big Game James McCarty. Also, you can tune in to us tomorrow, which I believe will be right here on this station for your Shriners All-Star football games, where we're going to have 11-man game at 3 p.m. and the 9-man game at about 6 p.m., obviously pending any weather issues that may come up. Stay tuned for that, because James and I will get our first taste of football for the calendar year 2025.
Yeah, it looks like the rain will be late tonight and overnight, but tomorrow is just looking sunny and hot, probably on the muggy side too. I know Lisa up at Edgewood Golf Course, they've got a big veterans tournament tomorrow morning, and so she was nervous about the weather.
But I'm still kind of nervous about it. I know I will be hot and sweaty.
Well, it's going to be hot, no doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be hot, but I always worry, because I know that when I was in high school, there was a football camp I went to, and I know one of those days I got a little bit of heat exhaustion, so I missed one of the days of the camp because of that. So I don't want any of the boys playing this weekend to overdo it. I don't want any of those veterans at a golf tournament to overdo it either. So
Hydrate. Yeah, hydrate.
And if it gets to a point where you're a little bit concerned about it, maybe you have to step away and not be outside a ton.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
Make sure you take breaks, find some air conditioning, and make sure you're drinking plenty of water this weekend. Mm-hmm. Today, we just had another round of thunderstorms, very brief, roll through the metro here. Could see some more of those. Better chance tonight. And some of those evening storms could be severe. Keep your radio tuned to WDAY for the latest on the weather. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will be on the air if things turn nasty tonight. Otherwise, enjoy the day. 87 for our high. Southeast winds 10 to 15. 65 our overnight low. Sunny and hot tomorrow. 94.
Super hot.
Very, very hot.
I want to stay inside hot.
I will be staying inside.
I reconsider wanting to broadcast from a small wooden box.
I gave you a neck fan. You'll be fine.
I've got a neck fan. I got another fan. I'm still going to be hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how.
James
has
no fans, so just look on the.
No, I've got my clip-on fan. That will be for
both
of us.
Maybe you'll share it with Jim. Jimmy, you're sweet. Mm-hmm. There will be a breeze, though. East winds 10 to 20
tomorrow. That'll make it just peachy.
Perfect if you're heading to the lake. People will be loving that temperature.
We're not at a lake. We're at a hot, steamy football
field. Yeah,
you
are, but a lot of our friends and listeners will be at the lake or in the pool. Partly sunny on Sunday, a little cooler, 85 for the high. Southwest winds 15 to 25. And then highs in the 70s next week. Looks like another chance of rain Wednesday and Thursday. Mostly cloudy, again, thunder shower just rolling through within the past 20 minutes, half hour here.
Did we have some last night, though?
That's the third band. I looked back at radar since about 11 o'clock last night.
I know that it seemed like it was starting to pick up a little bit when we were getting ready to go to sleep.
About 9
between
o'clock.
Between 9:30 to 10, and then I woke up at like 12:30, and there was some lightning to the... I think it was to the west of us. So I think another band came through at about midnight to 1 o'clock-ish, something like that.
Yeah. So the way I looked at the radar, it looked like the third wave of those.
Yeah, sounds about right.
None of them lasted terribly long, nothing severe. But again, tonight, pay attention to the weather. Keep it tuned to WDAY Radio. Could be rocking and rolling, and some of those strong storms could be severe. We have cloudy skies, 64 degrees at our WDAY Radio studios, high top by 29 in South Fargo. Southeast winds 13 miles an hour. It is 5:14. We're going to get you updated on your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. Friday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stedman, and you. Thanks for being here. We do appreciate it. Friday.
Finally Friday.
There you go. Question of the morn. We want to know, do you have any fun summer things planned? 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good Friday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Another thunderstorm, or thunder shower more so than a storm roll through within the past
45
minutes.
Well, it was significant enough to get Dean here early.
Oh, is he here early?
Yeah.
Well, maybe things are a poppin'. No, it looks all... I mean, we could see another one, but better chances tonight and severe weather, too. Tomorrow is going to be hot and humid.
I'm already sweating for tomorrow.
It was a little humid last night. Not awful, but I was golfing Ladies League, and it was a little sticky out there.
Yeah.
There was a couple very, very light sprinkles, but it didn't rain until after we were done. So
at one point, I sat out on the patio for a little bit, but you know, it was, you know, low to mid 80s, and so I was in the shade in the backyard, so it wasn't terrible, but at the same time, you could feel that it was fairly warm, so I didn't want to spend a lot of time out there, but, you know.
I know, Odie Dog wanted to come out on the deck, and it's like, I let him lay on the deck for maybe a minute. It's like, come on, buddy, it's too hot out for you. When you're talking whatever that plastic decking, whatever it's made out of.
The Teradex.
Yeah, the Forever Deck. It's like, no. You don't need to be outside when it's this hot out here, buddy. It's too hot for And watch your pets, too. I mean, the sidewalk gets extremely hot, so, and we'll continue to have events going on throughout the summer. It's like, probably leave them inside if we have hot days like this.
Yeah, because you got to worry about their paw pads when you go for a walk and when it's super hot, even if it's not humid, obviously. Humidity itself, I mean, that's something that's going to bother you and your pet.
Mm-hmm.
So if it bothers you, it's going to bother them. And for our pups, I mean, you know, the only way they can regulate their body temperature, they don't sweat. They just pant.
Panting.
You know, and of course.
Have you ever tried to pant? Like, that, like, I mean, you get dehydrated panting.
Pretty much. I mean, I usually try and do that sometimes when
Should Melinda's we have a panting excited. Competition, see who can go longer here?
Probably not. That's probably not good radio.
I probably have better lung capacity. Still. You're still working on rebuild mode.
Maybe.
You don't think that would be good radio?
No, I don't.
Okay. Just checking.
I just know that the phrase, it smells like a sweaty dog in my house, comes up often, but I'm like.
Oh, dog smell.
I'm like, she doesn't sweat.
But dogs get that stink about
her. She does need to go to the groomers because she's getting a little bit of floof here and there. So I think she needs to go get groomed and be pampered a little bit.
My neighbor's got two huskies. She had them out on the back deck last week. She was shaving them with a razor.
Yeah.
And then she went after her two-year-old. And I don't know if it was the same razor, but shaved them too. It's just like, you don't have any hair left.
I know, right?
Do you have any fun summer plans? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. Do you have any fun summer things planned? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good morning to you, Dave in Grand Rapids. He's coming to town. He's got a family get-together this weekend in West Fargo at his cousin's. Oh, after that, he starts a new job next week, so his summer's pretty much gone.
Oops.
Probably.
Okay,
new jobs are exciting, though, aren't they? Usually? I mean, it's a little scary at first.
Yeah,
apprehensive,
definitely.
Because it's a learning curve. A lot of stuff to learn. But don't think you can't switch jobs or careers at any point. I mean, I switched after a 30-year career at one place to come here. I mean, that was scary. And
I mean, I get that, but I mean, you didn't switch careers. You switched employers.
It's still a big deal to do that.
Yeah, definitely is.
You just don't know. There's a lot of unknowns.
Yeah. And for me, it was just simply something that, you know, it started with just going with my neighbor and podcasting. Then it switched to calling some games for the local semi-pro team, which led to an opportunity here. And then we started to do more stuff here. So it was the natural progression to get a full-time job here. But at the same time, it wasn't quite as hard for me to want to do it. It was more of a question about, am I going to be able to make ends meet? Because you're taking a big pay cut to step away from a government career and start doing radio. Because I don't know if people know this. I mean, radio's not normally the most lucrative occupation out there. It's not like, you know, everybody that's on the radio is not, you know, they're not like the national broadcasters that get paid six figures or anything like that, you know. Well, except for Bonnie. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's big time like that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it was not necessarily scary. It was more about knowing that I had done what I wanted to do with that career and I wanted to do this before I was too old to do this and be able to do it full time. So I made the switch, and thankfully with pensions and savings and stuff like that, I can make everything work and everything basically stay the same. And then, you know, you do the little things after it too. For those of us that switch careers completely and take a lesser paying job, you cut back on this expense and that expense. And just, I use the two examples all the time. Switching from DirecTV to a YouTube TV. I mean, that's $100 a month.
You're really good about watching your money and looking for what's the better deal. You're really good about that.
I mean,
that.
You have to. And that is, I mean, I try and do that with my oldest, and she's just impulsive and wants to buy it when she sees it because mm-hmm. it's the best thing ever. And it's like her mom, in a sense, is the complete opposite, where she'll put something in her cart and she'll wait to see if it's going to go on sale, or she'll wait to see if you can find it cheaper at a different place. And
Impulse buys, though, are never a good
thing. No, they're never a good thing. But at the same time, when you have something, you're hemming and hawing on it for a week, and you just keep asking me, do you think I should do it? I'm like, I take the mouse and click on it and be like, I'm done with it.
I'm kind of like that, too. I put careful thought into, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you're buying some type of clothing or whatever, a lot of times, I mean, say $60 or something on average for a shirt, even more than that, depending on what you're looking at, you know, and it's just like, I don't have unlimited money either. Nope. It's like, I kind of look at stuff. It's like, okay, do I really need these? Do I really want these?
Needs versus wants. Yep. That was something we learned, I think, back in high school. Yep. And then sometimes it's about knowing the resources that you have and if you can do X, Y, or Z. That's why when I had the accident, we only had the one vehicle left that's now 20 years old. It was kind of one of those situations where, okay, I can make this happen with these two vehicles if I do this, this, and this. And I had it basically written out and planned out, and I showed my wife and said, we can do this if we do X, Y, and Z. And she was like, okay.
Yeah. Game plans are important. Do you have any fun summer things planned? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Looks like our friend Mike in Northwood surfaces this morning. Good morning to you, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It is great. Friday. Good for you. Yeah, we had a little thunderstorm roll through, but now we got pink sky out there. Sun's coming up. It actually looks lovely here.
We got some clouds. Looks like some little dark blue to the west. So,
did you guys get any thunder showers or anything overnight or last night?
It was a pretty good lightning show about 9:30 when we went to bed, 9:30, 10 o'clock. And we'd gotten some rain. I don't know if it amounted to much.
I think you guys haven't seen as much as we have, say, in the past month. Is it kind of dry up in the northern end of the valley?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So farmers could use some, and the home gardeners could use some more rain.
We had a couple showers last week, but maybe a tenth.
Yeah, sometimes those showers don't amount to much. That's not real helpful when that's all you get.
No, but the only thing, it might be enough to water your flowers, but
that's
about it.
So you could use a good soaking up in the northern end of the valley.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would complain. Just, you know, when it starts, just know when to quit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's dry, but nobody's really complaining yet.
Right, not like drought conditions.
I know corn could use some, but now I think this heat that's coming this weekend, corn's just going to... It's just going to soak that up.
Heat, and I think the humidity. Doesn't the corn like humidity, too?
Well, they like anything moist, hot and moist.
Yeah, well, they're going to get it.
You know, you can sit in California, in the heat there, then they irrigate. You can almost sit and drive by a cornfield, and you can almost hear it growing.
Yeah.
You know, they're just sucking this water up, and then the 100-and-some-degree weather every day, and...
Pretty soon the sweet corn will be here. It'll be here before we know it. Heck, it's hard to believe it's already mid-June.
Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. Mid-June, it's towards the end of June.
Well, that's true.
We had a week.
Well, don't point that out. Summer's almost over, everybody. I know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah,
thanks,
Mike. Don't make it worse, Mike.
I know.
But you basically had 6 months of fun things to do all winter. Do you have any fun summer things planned?
Well, we had a plan this weekend. We were supposed to be in Toronto right now.
Ooh.
Fancy.
But we were supposed to fly out yesterday. We get to Fargo, and our flight coming from Chicago was delayed 2 hours because they had severe weather there.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so O'Hare was only letting planes fly at limited per hour. So our plane was going to be 2 hours late coming into Fargo.
So you had to go to Chicago to get to Toronto?
But, out of Fargo.
That makes sense.
Well, it always does. At least they didn't have to go to Denver to go to Toronto.
That's true, too.
Going the wrong way.
There was a flight going that way.
Yeah, I'm sure there was.
Everything seems to route through, Colorado or Dallas is another area. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people get routed through. What were you supposed to do there, a church convention? Or?
No, it was, we have a niece that graduated from a college in London, Ontario, which is like 2 hours from Toronto. But when our plane got delayed in Fargo, we were only supposed to have like a 45-minute layover in Chicago. Well, we would have missed our connection.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to try to go a different time?
No. The flight out of Chicago wouldn't have got left Chicago till 9 o'clock. We wouldn't. We wouldn't have gotten to Toronto till yesterday afternoon. And the graduation was yesterday afternoon.
Well, someday maybe you'll get up there. Mm-hmm. That sounds like it would be an incredible, fun trip. Never been there myself, so.
So today we're taking off from going to Decorah, Iowa.
What are you going to do there?
Well, we're going to end up down in Dubuque. There's a church that we want to go see. Mm. But Decorah has this nice, it's a big Scandinavian museum down there.
Oh.
And I have my brother from California, he's been there to visit it. And the church that my mother was baptized in and grew up going to, it used to be just west of Northwood here, that's in Decorah, Iowa.
No kidding.
They moved it. An old Lutheran church, and they moved it to Iowa.
Huh.
And they got a big Scandinavian fest there. I think it's in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
But we're going to go down there, road trip.
Oh, yeah, Nordic Fest. I did a little Googling on that. That's cool. Yep. Well, that'll be fun to see.
So we'll go down there, leave today, come back Monday.
Okay. Well, safe travels to you and Lonnie. You guys have a fabulous time, okay?
Hey, and you guys have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Right, good, that was great hearing from you. 538, do you have any fun summer things planned? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Oh, the summer tunes likely will be cranked in the lakes this weekend as we really see our first hot weekend day since May. I mean, we had those 3 days in May that were in the 90s, but hot and humid tomorrow, 94 for our high temp. Meteorologist Dean Wysocki tweaking the forecast. Might it go hotter? We'll see.
Oh, I don't like that. That's not good for me.
Lake lovers will love it.
Technically, isn't today the first day of summer?
Yeah, summer solstice or whatever.
I always think it's the 21st of those 4 months when it's, you know, each season changes officially. I always think it's the 21st of June rather than the 20th for whatever reason.
Does it maybe fluctuate? I don't know.
I don't know. I guess I'll have to ask Dino.
That's a higher pay grade than you and I have. That's his job. I did see a little bit of standing water here in some of the low-lying areas in the field behind us here. So I don't know how much rain we got. We had several bands of thunder showers that rolled through overnight. We'll ask Dino. He'll be joining us in about 15 minutes or so.
The water I saw wasn't quite as motivated. They were just sitting.
Yeah. Sitting there doing nothing.
Sitting water over there.
It'll go down.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
It'll soak in. But yeah, 87 for the high temp today. Some storms tonight. Pay attention to the weather. Could be severe those late tonight and into the overnight hours. We are looking for a high of 87. Get out and enjoy. And then a hot one, humid tomorrow. Make sure you are hydrating. Find yourself some water or stay inside where it's cool if you have air, hopefully. 94 for the high and then a little cooler Sunday, 88 as we drop into the 70s for, well, through middle of next week, Monday through Wednesday, highs in the mid-70s.
Well, we're going to have to ask Dean because there's an anniversary of the 1957 tornado on one television. Mm. And the middle one there looks like there's an increased risk for tornadoes, wind damage, hail potentially, I think, tonight.
Yes.
So I guess the question would be is that about what time are we thinking, and is this going to be a significant risk for major storms tonight?
So. Yeah, and hopefully those will be pushed out because there's you know, a lot of stuff going on in the daytime. I mentioned that big Veterans Golf Tournament up at Edgewood Golf Course in North Fargo. You and James will be calling some football games, and then just, you know, people are at the lake. They want to have fun. They want
to enjoy
themselves.
Well, you want to be able to enjoy it, and you just don't want to – I mean, I know a couple people that I used to work with that both have lake places that are out there all summer. One couple actually lives out there all the time now, I think. But I'm just, you know, it's one of those things where, at least in my opinion, a lot of times when I've known people that have had lake places here from the local neighborhood and whatnot, they're not the same kind of structures built out by the lake. They're more either the prefabbed homes or trailers or campers.
Tents in this weather.
I mean, I know that, you know, for many years, my grandparents had a camper. My mom and dad had a camper for many years. Granted, they didn't have it set up at a lake all the time. They usually just took it around to different places. Only once to North Dakota, but that's a different story. Thanks, mom and dad. But anyway... if you're in a camper, I mean, you have to leave the camper. You got to go to the shelter.
Yeah,
it's
so
usually
plan
the bathroom.
Ahead.
Yeah,
so be prepared because it could get rocky tonight.
Yeah, so I mean, if it's going to be one of those nights, be prepared. And if anything, you know, if you got plans, if you got a reservation at a campground, you know, maybe go out there tomorrow as opposed to today. But, you know, just being overly cautious, it'll depend on what Dean says in the weather forecast
and
as well.
Yes, today is the anniversary of the devastating tornado that hit Fargo June 20th, 1957. F5
Ooh.
Tornado. Yeah, over in the Golden Ridge area is where it hit.
I don't know where that is.
You don't?
I don't, kind of off
Main 27th, 8th Street, kind of. There's a fire station over there where the old, not Juanos, what's the Mexican place that just opened up in Mangos, where the old Mangos was, kind of if you go
on
north.
On Main Street?
North of there, not on Main. They didn't build houses on Main. You got to go to the north of there and to the east of there.
I don't know,
that's
I'm,
the old Golden Ridge.
The only
Ridge.
Place I know where Mangos was off of.
Well, yeah, off of Main. That, yeah. So that's Golden Ridge is kind of off
up that way, yeah.
That direction. So
I know my neighborhood, what that one's called. So I got that going for
gotcha.
Me.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, and there were fatalities in that storm. So that's a good reminder with severe weather in the forecast here, too.
Of course, the Fargo-Moorhead area was much smaller back in 1957. I mean, there's been
houses weren't built. As
no, there.
Well
I mean,
either.
Think about it. I moved to the area 50 years after that tornado, and now just even 18 years later, we've got neighborhoods and businesses and stuff that have just popped up in the last two decades that are just thriving neighborhoods now that weren't there. Obviously, 20 years ago, let alone 70.
13 people killed, over 100 people hurt in that June 20th, 1957 tornado in Fargo. So yeah, be aware and be prepared for severe weather. And like I said, tonight will be the first chance of this season here where we have a potential for severe stuff.
Yeah. It seems like it's been forever since we've had a real significant threat of significant weather, but
it's been a quiet couple of summers. You're absolutely right. But Dean said things will change here this summer too. Oh, so.
I was going to say we on our PTS show last night.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the Timberwolves and their salary situation, and we were talking about Rudy Gobert. So I have been saying since the season ended, well, he's on a player option for like $45 or $48 million, and James is like, no, he's got two more years on his contract. He's going to be paid $35 million next year. And so I go and I look it up on one of the websites. Guess when this extension was signed?
I don't know.
October 23rd, 2024. Which is 5 days before my heart attack, so I don't really have a good recollection.
Oh,
so
that makes
so
sense.
James thought I was just giving him a hard time, and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. And he's like, how does he not know? This happened like last year. And I was like, I looked at the date, and I went, oh, okay, that's why I didn't recall that he had signed an extension. So.
Yeah. 5:50, good morning to you. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Our question of the morning, do you have any fun summer things planned? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm okay. I was 3 years old in 1957.
Do you remember the tornado at all? I've got memories from as young as three. That's why I ask.
I remember when I was three.
Yeah.
And I wish my stomping grounds was put back the way it was annexed.
Were you over in that Golden Ridge area where it hit?
I was on the 12th Street 12th block.
Okay. Yep. What do you remember about it?
Well, a lot of damage.
Yeah. And probably, were you at home? Did your parents?
Oh, yeah, I was down in the basement crying.
Yeah, it's scary, right?
And then this neighbor, this guy that I didn't like, came running to the house, and he came. My mom let him in. I wish my mom never would have let him in. And he told Mom, "Can't you stop that stupid kid from crying?"
Yeah, you don't forget that. Mm-mm. But your mom potentially saved his life, too, even though you didn't like him. Saved his life, though.
He was a stupid, horrible Gate City guy, Gate City bank guy.
I'm sorry. Well, do you have anything fun planned for this summer? Our question of the morning, Patricia?
Well, staying cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot one. Do you have air conditioning?
I got a window mount air conditioner.
Well, you know what? That does the trick, right? And especially if you can just kind of keep it to one room.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot better than a central air.
It works for you.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great. And I wish they'd put Edgewood and get rid of that damn golf course.
No. I like that golf course. I was there last night. Be nice. It's a beautiful golf course. And it was busy.
There's a bunch of drunks.
No, they're not, Patricia. Oh, my goodness. 5:52. Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Not everybody that golfs or goes to football or baseball games is a drunk. Do you have any fun summer things planned? That's our question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Go to the phone lines. Find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning to you, Polly.
Morning. I think I'm going to do a little bit of swimming in the creek. It's kind of not slow moving, so it's fresh water.
Yeah.
They don't have much in the way of fish in that creek. It's just, it rolls over lava is what it rolls over, so there's not a lot of grass or weeds that they can eat off of.
Is it going to be hot there this weekend, too?
Yeah, but there's shade along there. There's trees that go along the water, so it's kind of hard. You got to get your favorite spot and make sure you have a place to cast.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Anything. So you fish, too?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
You fish, too?
Yeah.
Good. Good for
get
you.
My license.
Yeah. Good
I'll
for
get my
you.
License even if I forget to buy my license, I'll go back and I'll make sure I get the one that's updated, and then I'll pay for the one that I didn't have that I should have had that I forgot to get.
Well, yeah, you don't want to get nabbed for fishing without a license. That's not cool. So,
don't need that.
Stay cool this weekend and you enjoy.
You too. Have fun. Stay out of the heat.
And we will try. 701-293-9000. Do you have any fun summer things planned? Doug says work. It's always fun. I think he's in the home stretch. I think he retires this coming fall. So,
not that he's counting down the days.
No, probably not. Bonnie says lots of family coming. She's at the lake. So lots of family will come spending various weekends, keeping her company all summer long. Barb's going to go see Sawyer Brown at the fair, if it doesn't rain, she says. VFW convention in Ohio and a trip to Botano as well. It is 5:54. We are going to head to the American Ag Network.
Oh, yeah. It's a Friday, Bonnie and Friends.
A little Steely Dan getting you going on a Friday. Who's in charge of the tunes this weekend? I'm not spinning them.
Why not?
Because I'm just going to be doing nothing. It's going to be me time.
You got a DJ turntable set up in your house.
I used to.
You're down in the basement DJing to your cat, you know, and now Odin is there as well. So yeah. I know what you're doing.
Yeah. I'll be watching some Netflix documentaries.
Get your paws up in the air if you just don't care.
I do have a golf round this afternoon.
Oh.
Well, late this morning.
This morning? You're cutting out early? Jeez.
Yeah. I'll be out of here as soon as I can be out of here today. And then after that, it's going to be too hot for me.
Yes.
So I will just be inside staying cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any fun summer things planned? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Mark says he has lots of fundraisers for our veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Aw, and he gets to officiate his niece's wedding, too.
Oh, cool.
I love that. Dean says he's getting married. Okay. People thought he was serious the first time. He cries wolf. This is, I think, the third time that he has posted something on our Facebook page about getting married.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Dean. Maybe someday he'll...
I don't think so.
Well, maybe. Maybe trifecta. Third time's a charm.
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to just try and, you know, be in a long-term relationship, but he's not going to do the whole wedding thing.
Maybe.
Some people just are just like, nah, we don't need to make it official.
We don't want
to. We're happy the way it is.
You know, and that's fine, too. Yeah. To each his own. Yeah, some people mm-hmm. are totally, totally cool like that.
Yeah.
Trevor is going to go to the Inkcarceration Festival. I'm guessing that you can get tattooed in addition to enjoying music.
Cool.
Midsummer Music Festival. Many other concerts planned. He's going to party up his birthday party in Vegas.
Nice.
Oh, I love that. He's taking his parents to Minneapolis to celebrate their wedding anniversary.
Oh, nice.
And a vampire party all before Labor Day. I love that. He's a busy guy. He's working all the time. And if he's not working, he's off to different concerts and festivals. So you're living life, Trevor. Good for you. I don't think I really have anything. I just kind of take it as it is. I don't really have anything fun summer planned. Fall is my daughter gets married.
Yeah.
So that's the tail end of summer.
Yeah, I don't have anything planned, although I know my wife would like to take a trip somewhere, so we'll have to see how that plays out. I mean, summer is, quote-unquote, the slow time for James and myself, because once we get to the end of August, although last weekend in July, we'll be down for Vikings training camp once again.
I know. That's crazy. Is that getting earlier? Didn't it used to be the first week of August? I guess maybe the Corey Stringer incident.
Yeah,
in July,
I think it's about
right.
the same. I think it's usually the end of July. So,
maybe.
Yeah. It's one of those things that just, you know, we get to go on a Saturday and it's overly, I get too much sun and we have Sunday to kind of just hang out and lay around. And then Monday is the last day we can go to training camp and stuff. So mm-hmm.
August 1st, 2001 is when Corey mm-hmm. Stringer was overcome.
So last week in July, it's probably moved up a little bit, trying to, I suppose, get the games in, the preseason games in before the regular season starts, like after Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's September 8th or when exactly the first NFL game of the season is, but I think my birthday's in the middle of the week or
It'll
something.
It'll be here before we know it. Summer's mm-hmm. just cruising along. 6 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 6:03, weekend upon us. A lot of you will be heading to the lakes, outdoor activities planned. What's the weather going to be doing? Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived.
Hot,
and are you still looking for potentially severe
stuff?
Yeah,
bigger storms tonight than we had last night.
Okay.
Nothing severe around here, but they did have tornadic activity south of Dickinson yesterday evening. And we can't rule something like that. We can't rule that out tonight in our area. Now, hopefully, I mean, we're going to be able to enjoy a hot summer weekend in terms of if you're going to the lake. Hopefully we don't get damage ahead of that where you're going to have to clean that up.
Yeah,
and
that's
really,
never fun.
And you really can't enjoy it. So we picked up, let's see, here at the studio, a tenth of an inch.
Oh.
Out at the airport, 2/10 of an inch.
Hmm.
The storms generally lined up from about Cooperstown through Foxholm, kind of in that northwest to southeast trajectory. In fact, Foxholm got the most rain at 1.06.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Prosper picked up a little over a half inch. Sabin picked up a little over a half inch.
Mm.
Grand Forks, Jamestown, nada. Cooperstown, a quarter inch. Wahpeton, a third of an inch. And as I said, out at the airport, just over 2/10 of an inch and only a tenth of it, just under a tenth of an inch here at the studio. So if you're outside that narrow band of storms that rolled through, you really didn't see much rain at all. Now, currently we're in the 60s. It's a little on the humid side out there with southeast winds blowing about 15. We're going to have a lot of sunshine today. We'll have some clouds mixed in from time to time, but you're going to notice an increase in the humidity today with highs in the upper 80s, mid to upper 80s, and dew points in the upper 60s.
Mm.
Anytime that dew point gets above 60, it's very uncomfortable for Bonnie. Everybody else is like, yeah, it's a little humid. Once it gets into the upper 60s, that's when your hair starts to curl up,
mm-hmm.
if you have any.
Yeah.
A little breezy today, southeast 10 to 20. Storms will come in tonight. Now, there's going to be a warm front that will be propagated over the area. A lot of twisting in the atmosphere along that warm front. That's where those severe storms are going to fire. Exactly where that warm front sets up from east to west or from southwest to northeast, arcing. It looks like it's going to be arcing almost right through the Fargo area and into Lakes Country. Now, again, a slight shift in that by 30 miles would pull the severe weather just outside of our area. But we're in that zone where we could have some very strong storms tonight with large hail and an isolated tornado or two can't be ruled out tonight. And we're talking large hail.
Keep your radio tuned right here. Dino will be
here tonight covering this. And the time frame on this is going to be after dark. So we're looking at about, let's say, 10 o'clock time frame to about 2-3 in the morning.
Okay.
That'll be the time frame on that. We'll drop down to 66, east winds of 10 to 25, and then Saturday, a humid, breezy day, plenty of sunshine, the atmosphere is going to be capped. That's right, and don't bust that cap.
No cap.
We're looking at a high around 93 for Saturday. Now, Sunday, it looked like we were going to cool. Sunday's going to be a tale of two different areas. So areas west of the valley will probably have breezy conditions, cooler, upper 70s to lower 80s. From the valley eastward into Lakes Country, we're going to be in the 80s and 90s. Depending, again, where a cold front sets up, I think the best chance for any severe storms on Sunday is going to be east of the valley as a cold front marches east into Lakes Country, where they could have some severe weather on Sunday. Highs right in around the Fargo area on Sunday, upper 80s. I think we'll hit low to mid 90s where there's excessive heat warnings. If you're heading down to the cities this weekend, they've got some bigger heat down there. And then much cooler for next week. I'll have more on that coming up here after the bottom of the hour. So keep your radio tuned here overnight. We'll be covering these storms if necessary. But I do see a better chance tonight of seeing severe weather with large hail. And again, depending where that warm front sets up, it's along that warm front where you can get some isolated tornadoes.
Lisa up at Edgewood Golf Course was concerned about Saturday because they've got a big veterans golf tournament going on. But
they're fine.
So, yeah, I just texted her. Should be good, but she has to be there at 5 o'clock. Should be good by 5 a.m., I told her.
Oh, yeah.
Because you said between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m.
And about 10 to about 3 a.m., yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. That's good to know. All right, you said on our Facebook page, but I don't believe you because this is the third time you've cried wolf. But do you have any fun summer
things? Third time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First
time you posted on our Facebook page you were getting married, everybody thought you were serious.
Yeah.
The second time
Christy loved that one.
So now for the third time you tell us you're getting married this summer?
No, but there might be something else up my sleeve.
Oh.
Well, we're taking a trip.
Yeah.
To Chicago. Oh, and might be on Jay's show. We're filming rides with one of my friends down in Omaha, so we're going to head down there.
Oh, fun.
He's one of my friends. He's got a collection of, is it 20 or 40 shorty cars?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, Google it. It's called a shorty car. It's really, really cool. So I sent that to Jay. He had him on his Facebook. He's like, you think we can go down and film them? I'm like,
oh my gosh, I've never seen
that
before.
They're like, I hate to use the term, but they're like midget cars.
It's like a little kid's play school car almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh, so, I've never seen that before.
So we're going to go down and film him, and then Christy and I are going to buzz over to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Might catch a Cubs game.
There you go.
Or two.
He's taking her home to meet the friends and
he's taking her home to watch the Cubs.
Oh, my cousin was up here just a few weeks ago, and he approved.
Yeah. So. You got a good lady there,
yeah,
Dino.
I think so.
Yeah. I think you need to get on rides when Jay goes there. You need to sit
too.
In that little shorty
car. I could sit in the shorty car.
It would have looked big
and
if
I'll
you sit
huge.
In it. I know.
Can you imagine if you were, say, a 6'6", 5 or something trying to cram into one of these little shorty cars?
How could you? I don't see how you could.
Huh. That's cool. I've never heard of those before.
Yeah. So he'll be filming that. I'm sure it'll be on sometime this fall.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. 6:09, the weekend about upon us. They are made to enjoy your time with family and friends. It's also a great time to give thanks and salute those who make it all possible. our military and first responders out there for us every single day. And with summer here, it's also a great time to enjoy the Mango Blonde from Liffridge Brewing in Stillwater, Minnesota.
Yeah, you can just sit back and enjoy the aroma of a tropical breeze from a fresh mango grove, leading you into a light-bodied blonde ale. It finishes with subtle mango sweetness that does not overpower the golden malt ale. And it's made with natural flavors. It's perfect for the lake, boat, backyard, your deck, patio, or wherever you want to have a nice little bit of summer. And it's now available year-round in your favorite local liquor stores. And remember, while you're enjoying your weekend and tipping one back, remember to salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and those first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
610, we are going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 614, heading into the weekend, Big Game James McCarty's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
PGA Tour this weekend, the Travelers Championship in Cromwell, Connecticut. Austin Eckroat and Scotty Scheffler tied for the lead at 8 under par, three-way tie for third. At 600, golfers begin teeing off their second round in about 45 minutes from now. Tom Hoagie tied for 43rd. He is at even par after the opening round. He tees off his second round just after noon, right about 12:05. Minnesota Twins snap their six-game losing streak and salvage the final game of their series in Cincinnati with four home runs and a 12-5 victory over the Reds on Thursday afternoon. Chris Paddock gave up four runs over five innings, earning the win in the end. Bullpen struck out seven batters over four innings, only gave up one run. Ryan Jeffers, a home run, four RBI. Byron Buxton, two solo shots. Cody Clemens, a two-run homer. And then four other Twins just drove in a single run on base hits. Twins now return home to Target Field for a weekend series against the Milwaukee Brewers, with the opening game of that series tonight at 7:10, with Joe Ryan being sent to the mound for Minnesota. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks splitting their two games against Sioux City, the Explorers, on Thursday evening. Redhawks did fall in that first game 3-2. Keep in mind, it did resume in the top of the seventh with two outs, tied at two apiece, so the Redhawks just were quiet there. The Redhawks then in game two would actually score three runs in the first two innings, and they would survive with a 5-3 victory. Kyle Krieger would end up giving up three runs over six innings, picking up the win. The bullpen, three shutout innings, slamming the door shut. Juan Fernandez hit the scoreboard with a two-run homer, and then a couple of other Redhawks driving in runs as well. They're going to head south to Sioux Falls for a weekend series with the Canaries that begins tonight at 7:05. In the NBA Finals, just when you thought the series was over, well, the Thunder at one point were 1 of 16 from three, and the Pacers ended up with six players in double figures, including Obi Toppin, who had a team-high 20 points, excuse me, even. The game-high was 21. Indiana taking down Oklahoma City 108-91 to force a decisive Game 7 this weekend. That will be back in Oklahoma City on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock on ABC for a winner-take-all. One thing of note, the Pacers heading into the series had not lost back-to-back games at any point this postseason until they had gotten to Games 4 and 5 of this series. Oklahoma City has not lost back-to-back games at all this postseason either. Maybe, possibly, Indiana can return that favor. We'll see how things end up shaking out this weekend in that finals game number 7. I'm curious as to what the ticket prices are going to be this weekend. Because I was looking probably at the College World Series, and for game 1, that's at 6 o'clock on Saturday night of that best of 3 between Coastal Carolina and LSU, first pitch at 6 o'clock on ESPN. The cheapest ticket with fees that I could muster up was flirting with $300 for the Saturday night game, LSU and Coastal. So, naturally, what do? I look at the 1 o'clock game on Sunday that they're guaranteed. You can get that for a little bit more manageable.
Yeah.
Left center, right center field for around $200 a ticket. And then if it comes to a decisive game 3 on Monday night, we're not going to know those ticket prices until late Sunday because they won't even put them up for sale until after the game goes final because they don't want to do refunds, things of those sorts.
Are they raising the prices themselves, or is this like the secondhand market? Because I thought
it's a demand price raise for being a championship series.
Oh, I would have thought that
some of it is that, some of it's demand, but the actual ticket price itself will increase due to the nature of it. It's not the elimination rounds anymore; it's the championship series.
Ah, I see.
I don't quite think that it's the NCAA and whatnot that is jacking up the prices that much. I think a lot of it turns into secondhand market sellers, Yeah, I mean, either way, it's a fun atmosphere, so I know it's going to be bumping there this weekend, and We'll see what happens in the NBA Finals, that final game of that one.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, we're less than a week away from the NBA and NHL's drafts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, kind of nuts. And then July 1st and 2nd is when you end up hitting your free agencies for them, and that's when all the dominoes start to fall for the summer. Just when you think that things are going to quiet down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Think again, my friend.
I spend most of my day when I'm off the air surfing for news stories because it's my
what? I've what never heard that.
I know. It's what I do. I lead an interesting life. But I don't always believe everything I see. I saw this story about the Timberwolves. But it comes from The Athletic, one of the reporters there. And that's usually a pretty reputable publication. I don't know. I saw this rumored Kevin Durant trade where allegedly this reporter says Rudy Gobert, Dante, Terrence Shannon Jr. and or Rob Dillingham.
Yeah, like, no.
I don't care about Rudy Gobert and Dante as much, but Terrence Shannon Jr. and Rob Dillingham, why would you even think about getting rid of two up and comers?
Well, the trade I had seen that was proposed as far as a writer goes was Julius Randle, Terrence Shannon Jr. And somehow there was a four-team trade, so they got a pick in as well. I think it was Mike Conley in that one, and then Dante DiVincenzo went to another team to get Kevin Durant. And the thing that I've been saying to James during our PTS shows is that I just I don't want to spend that much on a guy that is only going to be in Minnesota for maybe a year.
That's true, too. And I get some of those older players that they might want to spin off, and Dante DiVincenzo is inconsistent, but to even bring some of our young, good players into the flow of that, it's like, that would be a mistake.
In order to make it work, because that's what Phoenix is going to want to try and start their rebuild, that's what it would take to get a guy like him. But at the same point, there are three places that he said he would sign an extension in, and Minnesota was not one of them. I heard in the last 24 hours even that, as far as I'm aware, that trade rumor is for the most part dead at this point, or it's at least on life support, because he wants to end up in a place, whether it's Miami, San Antonio, you know, something like that, Dallas or Houston or whatnot. So I'm not too up in arms about it, because I mean, that's what it would take to get a guy like him. And that, at the same point, that's also why you see franchises that end up, you know, crashing and burning the way they do, like in the way Brooklyn did for a while, the way that the Clippers did until Kawhi came back home, the way that Toronto's been after winning their championship and they sold house. So I fully expect the Wolves to make a big move this offseason, but I don't think it involves any 37-year-old balding future Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and Terrence Shannon.
Nice shot at his hair, bro. Jeez. Hey.
And Rob
I didn't use a burner account for it either.
I think Kevin Durant's the best. Oh, I wonder whose account that was.
You had mentioned San Antonio. Story out of San Antonio. Someone, something, sitting in a street wearing a heavy soiled diaper. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Oh, yay.
Oh, where should we start? There's a lot's the matter. 6:23, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio on a Friday. Steve Carney Outdoors joining us at 7:10 this morning. We will talk a little fishing coming up at 6:56, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We are going to be showcasing this artist who back in 2004, organizers of one of his shows hired three jets to spray dry ice into the clouds so it wouldn't rain during the concert. Find out who it is, Flatland Music Flashback. All right, teasing into our break there. It's not gross.
It sounded gross.
Well, I mean, you have to change diapers on it. It was a spider monkey. A baby spider monkey wearing a diaper was running loose through a San Antonio neighborhood. San Antonio Animal Care Services said, oh, it was a baby. It was only about 6 months old.
Yes.
And it was running through a neighborhood. He shouldn't have been on his own at 6 months, should he have?
I don't know.
Couldn't even change his own diaper.
I mean, is monkey years the same as people years? You know how dog years are and cat years are different.
I'm not sure, but spider monkeys, I Googled them real quick.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
That was a line from a movie.
I gotcha.
It was a kid saying it, too. It was funny.
22 to 27 years in the wild, but somebody has them here raising them 40 years or longer. How would you like to change diapers for 40 years?
I didn't like doing it for a couple.
I know.
It's like, we got to get her potty trained so we don't have to do this anymore.
You're going to get a spider monkey that needs to wear Well, do they still need diapers when they're big? Maybe you can train them.
Like, well, they're an animal, so maybe they don't, you know, they're not going to be trained to use the toilet. Maybe
well, they could be. Some people train their cats to use the toilet.
Some people train their dogs to do it, and it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Or do you want a cat or a dog using the same toilet you use? I don't know. I think that's gross.
If they're... Do you want to pick up dog poop?
They're not going to flush.
If at least it's in the toilet, all you have to do is flush instead of picking up a turd out of the yard.
What if you don't see it? Like you're at work and you don't get home for 10 hours and it just sat there. That's gross. You would let your cat or dog poop in the toilet.
Would you let your cat or dog poop in the house?
In a litter box.
Oh, see, that's the whole different thing. I mean, I come home and I smell a dirty litter box, but heaven forbid there's a turd in the toilet.
And we don't want dogs pooping in the house either.
No, that's less than ideal.
So, I don't know. Maybe they do get toilet trained, these little monkeys. But it was wearing a heavily soiled diaper found in the middle of a street. And
I think some monkeys are trained to do the weather, but that's a different story.
They did capture this...
spider monkey.
Yeah. The owner identified, cited for having, not supposed to have it, cited for having a prohibited animal in the city, allowing an animal to wander freely, failing to produce evidence of the animal having a rabies vaccine, and failing to have the animal microchipped, so they need rabies vaccines, too. Yeah. Spider monkeys native to southern Mexico, Central and South America, considered exotic animals, not allowed as pets in San Antonio. They're adorable, I mean, but... The capuchin ones are really cute, too. That's what Ross in an episode of Friends had.
Maybe give it up, though.
I used to think I wanted a monkey instead of kids. Then I had three
Then you
kids.
Had kids, and you're
and
like...
I never got a monkey.
Then you're like, well, these are too much work. Imagine what a monkey would be.
There's still time. I guess I could
I guess.
It seems like a lot of work. I think they would cause, especially those capuchin. From what I've heard, I've talked to Kathy Dunn at Chihinkapazoo. They're kind of a little bit naughty, and they get into everything. And people don't realize when they get pets like this that these are going to live a long, long, long time. And are you prepared? Well, just like the people with alligators, we've heard stories about that in the news. And then they, it might be cute when it's little, but then what do you do when they get big?
Release them into the sewers.
What was that one that guy got? Remember, and they took it away from him? It was, he had had it. Was it New York, I want to say?
Was the one that was the 6-foot alligator, and he got caught with it at the hotel?
Well, no, that was a more recent one. But this was about a year ago. There was a guy that had it, and he had it for like 13 years, I want to say, in his back pool. And then animal services came and took it away from him, claimed he couldn't have it.
Yeah. That wasn't the guy that had the emotional support alligator, right?
That was a different one, too. Oh, okay. Yeah, there's people like that, too. No, it's like, no. That's just, I'm sorry, but no.
No.
Cat, no fun. Cat, dog. Do we end it at cat, dog, or?
It's for emotional support animal? Yeah, I'd like to think. So maybe you could work in
maybe a rabbit or a
ferret that you can put a little harness on, because those things will go everywhere and steal stuff.
Ferrets can be kind of mean.
Yeah, they can. It's got to be kind of...
You have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
And maybe they do. I guess I don't know.
It probably depends on the place and the other people. Like, that's Jim's support alligator.
A chicken. I think there was one in the news, too.
Yeah, a support chicken?
Year,
yeah.
Emotional support. It's like, come on, people.
You just can't have an emotional support chicken near an emotional support alligator, I don't think.
That would not go well.
Because then you only have a full emotional support alligator.
Yes, he would be very full.
Be delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I love his emotional support chickens, said the emotional support alligator.
Yes. This, okay.
Okay.
We've done this, like we've had, it wasn't me, but somebody brought him in. Jay Thomas is petrified of spiders, right?
Yeah.
So somebody had some little plastic ones, and probably Janae left him here as a little joke.
No, that was, gosh, who did that?
I don't know. Nonetheless, we had spiders around here, and sometimes people have had like fake mice in the workplace and scare people. A North Carolina woman suing her former workplace over claims that a supervisor intimidated her by leaving a Chucky doll on her desk.
Oh, no!
She's afraid of dolls, I guess. Supposedly, she was traumatized into needing treatment. I mean, Chucky was a scary, murderous doll in a movie.
But that was a movie.
I know. With the doll itself, I mean...
The doll itself wasn't scary because, in essence, the doll itself, at the beginning of the series of movies, because there was multiple ones, he was supposed to be, you know, I'm Chucky, I'm your best friend. You know, it was marketed for kids, and then this whole other weird plot line where the convicted killer or whatever died and is somehow they got his soul into this doll until they found a new body or whatever, you know, and then it kind of jumped a shark and became more funny than anything because he had what's the girl with the squeakier voice?
No idea.
That played.
You went way deeper than.
Yeah,
I.
They played Chucky's girlfriend, who and also ended up in a doll.
I just know who Chucky is, and mm-hmm. I know that Chucky really couldn't come to life.
Yeah,
but
no.
But people have fears of all sorts of things.
Well, there's like an Annabelle doll or some other movie series. But yeah, some people. I mean, some people have irrational fears of certain things, you know, and you can't help it. But
I don't know. This woman, like she said, she suffers from a fear of dolls. She said she was traumatized. However. The company where she worked, the bank where she worked, fired her. So
there was also a story where there was a lady in the UK that won a settlement of $30,000-$40,000 or whatever because somebody filled out a form or like an online quiz for her. And it's like, what Star Wars character are you? And she got Darth Vader.
Yeah.
So then people in the office started calling her, you know, Susan Vader or whatever the joke was. And then she got offended by it. And then she said she was harassed, and so then she won a lawsuit against her company.
I guess it takes all types, no doubt. 6:31.
Bonnie Vader here.
That
oh, no.
Doesn't affect me. I don't
affect me. I'm an Italian. Yeah.
I've got thick skin. I've been in news for 40 years. Not much you can do is going to affect me. 6:31. We're going to check out your WDAY radio news, and Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has a check on our forecast. Severe weather potential for that late tonight, so to pay attention to the weather forecast. 6:34, the weather could be rocking and rolling tonight. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has
details.
Rocky
like a hurricane.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we got a pretty decent atmospheric setup for severe weather tonight. Now, we had a few scattered storms last night. Non-severe for the most part around our area. There were some tornadic storms out south of Dickinson yesterday evening. Now, what we have going on tonight, what we look for in severe weather setups is winds turning at different directions as you go up in the atmosphere. That makes everything kind of twist and turn. And then you add that with rising motion. In other words, you get air that rises and it hits that spinning motion. Bam, you get storms that develop almost instantly. And that's the atmospheric setup that we have tonight, expected pretty close to the 94 corridor. So that puts us right in the crosshairs of the potential for everything from large hail to a few tornadoes can't be ruled out. So the time frame on this would be about 9-10 p.m. through about 3 a.m. So just, you know, the times you really don't want to see it. And you don't often see nighttime tornadoes, but the setup is there for it tonight. So please have your weather radio on or just keep it tuned here. If we do have any tornadic activity, we will definitely be on the air with that. So tonight or today, it's a quiet day today. Still a few showers on radar in the Lakes Country, but that will be diminishing. We'll see more sunshine as we head throughout the day. You're going to notice an uptick in the humidity today. And we're going to have highs in the upper 80s, mid to upper 80s, about 87. And those dew points will be up in the upper 60s. So that's the uncomfortable range. Southeast winds about 10 to 20. Storms develop tonight. And again, not everybody's going to see them. There's going to be that one little narrow corridor, and they'll move quickly northeastward. So areas, let's say, of the far southern valley might get missed out on this. It all depends where these storms initiate, and then they're going to quickly move east-northeastward. So there will be some severe storms tonight with lows in the mid-60s and east winds at 10 to 25. And then Saturday, rain-free, hot, humid, and breezy with highs of about 93, heat index readings between 100 and 105. Good day to be at the pool or out at Lakes Country. Cold front will arrive on Sunday. That could trigger off some storms late in the day, mainly from the valley eastward with highs in the upper 80s. And then cooler 70s to start off next week. It'll feel pleasant. That's Bonnie-approved weather Monday and Tuesday with highs in the mid-70s.
Yeah. Do you think on the 2 o'clock this afternoon when you're on the Jay Thomas show, you'll have a better
idea? We will.
Idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Storm Prediction Center right now has us in an elevated risk, which you don't see too often this far north. Now, if we see a moderate – if they upgrade it to a moderate risk, which – boy, it wouldn't surprise me at all. That means our chances are even further increased for severe weather tonight. So we'll keep a close eye on that. And yeah, we'll update you throughout the day. On Jay's show, we'll have updated information as our morning model runs are in by then. Mm-hmm. And then we can analyze those and have an update by on Jay's show this afternoon.
Cool. All right. Keep your radio tuned to WDAY for the latest weather information. 6:37, your national news from ABC coming up. We'll check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:43, time for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
I've officially located the photos of the broken Stanley Cup. I just sent them to you two on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw them.
There's a dent in the lower corner, kind of where it where the base starts. And there's, I think they took a chunk out of the literal cup. Looks like there's a chunk missing. Like, not that it got cracked. It looks like somebody took a chunk out of it.
Hmm. Do we know who had it when it got damaged?
No, they have not released that yet. Oh. And I have a feeling that they're going to keep it tight-lipped, honestly. Because
it happens, I guess.
I suppose.
They're going to have to replace that chunk and kind of push it back.
They got professionals that get paid really good money to fix that.
The black part on the bottom that's dented or whatever, that's probably the easiest one to fix.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just go get yourself a plunger.
Yeah, you just push it back. No one will notice.
Apparently, they're going to have it ready by the parade, which I believe is that Monday or Tuesday.
Mm. Well, I would hope so.
So whoever's doing it's on the clock, man. They got to come home from family vacation early to make sure that thing's welded and spliced together properly. So good job, Florida. Not only did you win a championship, but you broke the dang cup. Are you happy? Jeez, this is ridiculous. That leads into the Men's College World Series that takes place this weekend, beginning Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Nationally televised on ESPN. Number 13 ranked Coastal Carolina. By the way, they've won 26 straight games. And number 6 ranked LSU. Both teams have won a national championship in the past decade. It was 2023 for LSU. It was 2016 for Coastal. 47 of the 50 states say that they want Coastal in the David versus Goliath matchup, while 3 states, believe it or not, Louisiana is one of them, wants the Tigers to win. The other one, their current head coach, is formerly from Arizona. Arizona wants him, and Nebraska, because of the partying, evidently, also is voting for their Tigers. The NBA Finals will go the distance. We found out last night after a 108-91 victory for the Pacers over the Thunder in Indianapolis, sending this series back to OKC. 6 Pacers in double figures, led by Obi Toppin's 20 points. Remember when New York traded him away saying he can't get the job done? And now not only did he eliminate them, but he is a leading scorer in a winner-go-home NBA Finals game. Game number 7 in Oklahoma City, Sunday night, 7 p.m., nationally televised on ABC. Winner take all between the Thunder and Pacers. Who would have thought that would have been the series, honestly, even 2 months ago, let alone how good it's turned out, with so many people thinking either a sweep or a gentleman's sweep in favor of OKC. The Pacers have done everything and more in really exploiting this series and making it an absolute blast. PGA Tour Travelers Championship in Cromwell, Connecticut. Austin Eckroat and Scotty Scheffler tied for the lead, both 8-under par. Three-way tie for third at 6-under. Golfers begin teeing off in 15 minutes. Tom Hoagie is tied for 43rd at even par. And he is set to tee off his second round at 12:05 here this afternoon. I believe if he goes 1-under today that he'll safely make the cut for the weekend.
Okay.
At this point, he technically is within the cut line at this point at even par, but you can't expect everybody to go even or 1-over today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just get yourself under par, I'd be pretty confident in a successful weekend for him. And on the diamond last night, well, the Twins blasted 4 home runs to end their 6-game skid with a 12-5 win over the Reds in Cincinnati. It was a home run and 4 RBI for Ryan Jeffers, 2 solo shots for Byron Buxton, who, by the way, in that series, hit 4 home runs. Is the Buck truck back? Very well could be at this point. Mm-hmm. And Cody Clements, a 2-run homer in the victory. His dad won Cy Young's, and his son, well, he just mashes home runs off of pitchers, apparently. Mm-hmm. The Twins return home to Target Field for a weekend series against the Brew Crew tonight, beginning at 7:10. Joe Ryan on the mound. And the Red Hawks, after splitting their 2 games last night with Sioux City, will head down to Sioux Falls to battle the Canaries, beginning at 7:05 tonight. Pebble Lake Golf Club in Fergus Falls combines the beauty of nature and the challenge of a championship course. Book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
And football action tomorrow, you and Jason.
We do. The Shriners All-Star Football Games. They'll be right here on WDAY Radio, 3 p.m. will be kickoff for the 11-man game. That is going to be the AAA and AAA All-Stars squaring off East versus West. And then once that one concludes, it should be about a half hour or so later at 6 p.m., you'll have the 9-man game kickoff between the East versus West and that Shriners All-Star Classic. And we're looking forward to being back out there again. It's in Mayville, so if you can't get out there, well, yeah. WDAY Radio will have you covered all afternoon into the evening hours for updates on that, the full play-by-play coverage. And the final time we're going to see all of those young men, the graduating class of 2025, before they branch off to their future endeavors, whether that involves a four-year university, whether it involves a trade school, or maybe just straight into the workforce.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see where some of them end up, and we're appreciative that we're able to cover them one final time before they go off their separate ways.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. All right, it was on the state in entertainment history. This song became a big hit. It was about a fictional astronaut. The song came out during a period of great interest in space flight. Find out what it is. Flatland Music Flashback, again, coming up around 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. Stand by. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
In 1981, this song went to number one on the U.S. singles chart, which was based on a medley of Beatles songs set to a disco beat. We'll find out what song that was and who put it together coming up next on Flatland Music Flashback.
Time now for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
In 1969... David Bowie recorded Space Oddity. The song about a fictional astronaut was released during a period of great interest in space flight. Apollo 11's space mission launched 5 days later and would become the first manned moon landing 5 days later.
Unbelievable how many years have passed. 1969, that's crazy. Song became one of Bowie's signature songs and one of four songs of his to be included in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's 500 songs that shaped rock and roll. That's impressive right there. Four of his songs. Wow.
Yeah.
I remember when this was a monster hit.
I vaguely remember White Wall Tires. I mean, I didn't have any, so I'm not that old. 1980. It became Billy Joel's first number one hit. Joel has had three number one hits over the years and 13 top tens.
42 of his songs have made the Billboard Hot 100. Joel is in the Songwriters Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well.
Okay. These guys were ahead of their time, I'll tell you that, Bonnie.
Yeah?
Because nowadays you'll have a song. It could be a rock song, a slow song, and people will make a dance version out of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So these guys were just way, way ahead of their time. Back in 1981, Stars on 45 went to number one on the U.S. singles chart. A medley of Beatles songs set to a disco beat.
Terrible. Disco was already over at that time.
Oh,
I think.
Stop.
There was the start of a flood of Stars on hits, including Stars on Stevie Wonder, Punk Song, Status Quo, and Chaz and Dave.
Who's Chaz and Dave?
They were a duo.
Oh. I thought it maybe was short. I was like,
they weren't like huge, but I've heard of them.
In 2004. Organizers of a Paul McCartney show hired three jets to spray dry ice into the clouds so it wouldn't rain during the concert.
The gig in Petersburg, Russia was McCartney's 3,000th concert appearance. More than 2,500 of those performances were with the Quarrymen and the Beatles. The rest were with Wings or a solo artist. Another great summer song.
Yep. There is.
Maybe take some responsibility.
Oh, I thought it was his own darn fault. In 2008, Jimmy Buffett announced his Margaritaville Holdings partnered with a gambling company to buy Trump Marina Hotel Casino for $316 million. His vast business empire also included tequila, beer, frozen food, footwear, restaurants, a resort, a recording label, and the recording studio.
You bet. Margaritaville, his biggest song. It reached number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1977.
But it's number 1 in our hearts.
Yes.
Get it,
Cyndi Lauper, yeah.
My goodness. Having a birthday today, singer, songwriter, record producer Lionel Richie is 76. He's had a lot of hit songs as a solo artist and as a member of the Commodores. He also co-wrote the 1985 charity single We Are the World with Michael Jackson, and lately you've seen him on American Idol.
No, it's one of them.
Yeah, I think it's American Idol. I don't
I can't
know.
Keep track.
Whatever. It's some singing show. There's like 72 of them.
Oh, I think you're right. Maybe. I don't know.
American Idol and The Voice and America's Got Talent. Those are the three annoying ones. I mean, hit shows.
If you're having a birthday today or any day this weekend, happy birthday to you, too. It is 7 o'clock. Steve Carney Outdoors, joining us in about 10 minutes. We will talk fishing. We are WDAY Fargo. 7:03, we're going to get another qualifier coming up this hour, the Great Grocery Giveaway. One of you is going to win $10,000 in groceries brought to you by Allsager Meats, Kingpins, and ND Estate Services. Weather could be stormy tonight. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a breakdown.
Yeah, we've got what the Storm Prediction Center calls an elevated risk for severe weather. If they upgrade that to a moderate risk, I would definitely keep up to date on the forecast anyway. I'll be posting an updated article on what the Storm Prediction Center is thinking and what I'm thinking as well. Later on this morning, probably closer to lunchtime, once we get our morning data in from our computer models, we'll analyze that and then kind of give a rundown of what we're expecting. But I do expect severe weather, a pretty good bet tonight. The question is, where does it set up? Does it set up over the Fargo area? Does it set up just north of here? If it sets up just north of here, the movement on it is going to be east-northeastward pretty quickly. If it sets up overhead or just southwest of here, we're definitely going to be in the target zone. So something we'll be keeping a very close eye on initially when it develops. But somebody in the area is going to see severe weather tonight. That's a darn good bet. But the daytime hours look good. We picked up anywhere between about a quarter inch across a lot of the area, especially Cass, Clay County. Picked up about a quarter, half inch of rain. Foxholm was the big winner at 106. Here at the studio, less than a tenth of an inch, so it wasn't much here.
And they had some small hail down in Richland-Wilkin County area.
They did, down towards Wapiton. Yep. And conditions are favorable tonight for the same thing, except much larger hail. And,
yikes.
And, again, the possibility of more damaging winds and isolated tornadoes or two. But the daytime hours look good. We're looking at sunny to partly cloudy skies. It will be humid today. Highs in the mid to upper 80s with a southeast wind about 10 to 20. For tonight, storms are likely, and some of those will be severe. Large hail, isolated tornado or two can't be ruled out, mid-60s. Saturday, rain-free, hot, and humid. South winds 10 to 20, highs around 93, but heat index readings about 100 or higher. And then Sunday, a cold front approaches slowly, cooler to the west of the valley, and from the valley east into Lakes Country. Looks like another hot and humid one with highs in the upper 80s. A few isolated storms on that cold front Sunday late in the day, and then much cooler, mid-70s, to start off next week. So once again, keep up to date on the forecast. The time frame on the severe weather tonight would be anywhere around sunset through about 3 a.m., it looks like.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. It is now 7:06. We got a quick check of your national news. Big Game James McCarty returns with a sports update. And then Steve Carney Outdoors, joins us next.
Steve Carney Outdoors, going to be joining us shortly. We'll talk fishing. First of all, a quick check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Golfers just began teeing off their second round at TPC River Highlands in Cromwell, Connecticut for the Travelers Championship. Austin Eckroat and Scotty Scheffler tied for the lead at 8 under par, a three-way tie for third at 6 under. Tom Hoagie tied for 43rd at even par as of right now. He tees off his second round at 12:05, trying to make the cut this weekend. The Twins ended their six-game skid with a four-home run affair against the Reds in Cincinnati in a 12-5 win Thursday afternoon. Byron Buxton hit two solo shots, Cody Clemens a two-run homer, and Ryan Jeffers powering the way with a home run and four RBI in the victory. Twins now return home to the friendly confines at Target Field this weekend for a series against the Brewers. With first pitch at 7:10 tonight, Joe Ryan on the mound. And the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks splitting a pair of games against the Explorers from Sioux City last night. It was a 2-2 tie in the top of the seventh in Game 1. That's where they resumed play from what was that Wednesday night postponement due to the rain. They would end up falling 3-2 in that one in those last couple of innings, and then they would score three runs in the first two innings to power their way to a 5-3 series finale win. In the nightcap last night, They hit the road to Sioux Falls to battle the Canaries this weekend. First pitch at 7:05. And running out of sports this hour, with the Pacers taking down the Thunder 108-91 in Game 6 last night in Indianapolis, it will have a decisive Game 7 on Sunday night in OKC at 7 o'clock, nationally televised on ABC. Last time there was a Game 7, 2016, the historic Cavs comeback over the Warriors. We'll see if the Pacers can be the underdogs this time.
All right, big game, James McCarty. It is 7:11. Time now to check in with Steve Carney. Steve Carney Outdoors. He's brought to you by Auto Fix and Otter Tail. Find out more at autofixrepairs.com. Good morning to you, Steve.
Good morning, you guys. I hope you're staying cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a hot weekend. I would imagine that that will affect the fish, maybe moving into deeper water with the high temps in the 90s this weekend.
You know, Bonnie, this last week, things have radically changed on all the lakes I was on this week. And, you know, with this heat, the water temperatures are actually finally out of the 60s, so they are warming up. The weed growth is getting pretty crazy. It's up much higher than it was a week ago. The weed lines now are stretching out 16, 17 feet. And fishing was kind of tough this week. I had to really work at it. And I think it's got a lot to do with the storms that are coming through at night. A lot of lightning, and, you know, they don't like that, and it really throws them off their pattern. So yesterday we had to work pretty hard to get what we got. And according to a lot of my guide buddies, they struggled too yesterday. You know, we got fish, but you just, it's one of those deals where you get one or two on a spot, and then you move. Then one or two there, and then you move. So you're constantly moving right now and not finding a lot of, you know, concentrations. It's just a fish here, fish there. So the key is to just keep moving. Just keep moving, keep pitching, doing whatever you're doing, but cover water. And, yeah, things are definitely changing, and we're going to be in the low 70s water temperature, I think, here in the next day or two. So the good news is we got cool weather coming next week, and that's going to really help to kind of maybe drop the temperatures a little bit, slow the weed growth. And, you know, we also have a lot of blue-green algae starting in the southern part of Lakes Country, Grant County. Some of these lakes now are unfishable. The blue-green algae is so bad that it just popped up in like 24 hours. Mm. It was just like, boom, one day, here it is. So we got that going on, and, you know, this 100-degree, 95-degree stuff really propels that. But I like the coolness coming in next week. I like the 70s, and I think that's really going to, you know, really help a lot.
Well, yeah, and stay off those lakes with the blue-green algae, because that that can be deadly, not only for your pets, but getting to your lungs as well. Not a good idea to be on those lakes.
Yeah, you know, that stuff kind of comes and goes. You know, some lakes, you know, especially in southern Minnesota, western Minnesota, when it hits, you know, at this time of the year, you're going to have algae all the way to November. Mm. Some lakes, you know, will, you know, have it for maybe a week or two, and then it dissipates, and then you're fine for a while, and then it comes back again. So that's what's plaguing a lot of these lakes in Minnesota, and has been for 20 years. And, you know, basically some of these lakes are unfishable. Like some of them down by Grant County, Southern Lakes Country, you have a window of 4 weeks, May 10 to June 10, and then here it comes. So it's just kind of frustrating, because you only have a short window on a lot of lakes, and that's been the trend for decades.
Hmm. That's too bad. When it comes to weed growth, I know you said we were getting more weed growth out there. Does it get to some point in the summer, too, where there's too much weed growth?
Yes, that's a good point, Bonnie. It can get to the point where, you know, it's rising, and then, you know, people will cut up a lot of this weed growth with propellers and recreational traffic, and then it's floating on the surface, and then you're picking it up, you know, while you're fishing. So it does make it much more difficult. But yeah, we'll have to see what happens. It's definitely, you know, up this past week. It's just crazy how fast this stuff grows, but, still trying to work the edges, working over the top, and looking for really bright green cabbage, coontail, not the brown dead stuff. You want the really bright green, and that's what's holding fish right now. Jig and minnow's been working. Plastics have been working. And bobber fishing is a total waste of time right now, because you have to move. You can't sit on one spot. And, you know, bobber fishing is very, you know, methodical, and it's very boring and slow most of the time. So you do not want to be sitting on one spot. You want to be moving, moving, moving. And that's how you put fish in the boat, especially when it's, you know, tough conditions right now.
What about leeches and crawlers? Some people like to fish with those. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, we're just going to start transitioning to that in the next week. And I usually start out with leeches just because panfish like sunfish and perch can really, you know, rip a crawler apart. And that can be really frustrating. So my tip is I start with leeches. And if I feel perch banging on it, ding, 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 you're fine. They don't really mess with that leech much more than just hitting it. So once I catch a walleye on a leech, then I will switch to a crawler. Because then I know there's no perch and bait fish in the vicinity. And that's really kind of a good tip because a crawler, a big old crawler, is probably one of the best walleye baits there is. But you got to make sure you don't have a lot of panfish in that area. Otherwise, you're going to be going through crawlers left and right. And, you know, bluegills will rip that crawler right off the hook. And that can be really frustrating. So start with a leech. And then once you catch that first fish, move to those crawlers. It really makes a big difference.
Pro tip. There you go. Good advice.
Yeah, and then, you know, put a little air in that, too. And I have a dental syringe I use on my crawlers. I give them a little shot of air, and that rises, makes them rise about 2 feet off the bottom, you know, with about a 6 or 7 foot leader. It's nice and high. It's very active. And you can also do that to the leeches, too. Just give them a little puff of air in there, and that gets them to rise and be very active. And that works really well, too. Just a plain 6 or 7 foot leader, plain number six hook. That's all you need. And then weights are very important. You know, back in the day, we used, you know, heavy sinkers and boot-shaped sinkers. But now with, you know, the weed growth we've got going and invasive species that are in there now, you have to go to a very streamlined sinker, like almost a bullet-shaped sinker. So it slides through zebra mussels and the weed growth, you know, very small. It's just kind of like a pointy type of sinker, and then just pull it right along those same areas, and you'll be able to get through a lot of those areas, you know, much easier.
Some of the fun times growing up after a rain, my dad would take us out, and we'd go to one of the school lawns in my town, and we'd dig for crawlers at night. I don't know if most people are digging their crawlers anymore, but when it comes to bait, whether it's leeches, crawlers, minnows, whatever, is stuff pretty readily available, or is it hard to find some stuff, Steve?
Well, Bonnie, it's been kind of coming and going. You know, they'll have a good selection for a couple of days, and then they'll be out of bait. And there's been fathead minnows pretty much everywhere, but shiners, sucker minnows, pretty tough to find. And, you know, they're coming and going. But I'll tell you, these crawlers, you know, I think people probably don't know this, but most of the night crawlers come from Canada. And right now you're looking at $5 for 12 crawlers. And that is really expensive. So if you can find a golf course, find your own crawlers, do it. Because, you know, it's just crazy how expensive they are. And, you know, the minnows and the bait, that's still okay, kind of where it should be. But these crawlers are just incredibly expensive.
Do you dig your own?
No, I end up buying them because that's just kind of part of what I do. It's a business expense, Bonnie.
I loved going out night crawler hunting.
Steve was out there on the golf course on the greens, you know, digging up a new hole for the flag just so you can find some crawlers.
Well, yeah, I see them when I'm out on the golf course, and I do have a tendency to, like, maybe I should bring a jar and pick those up, but no. I need the deductions, you guys. I need the deductions.
There you go. Well, good luck fishing, and we'll catch you again next Friday.
All right, you guys, stay cool.
You too. Steve Carney, Steve Carney Outdoors. He is brought to you by AutoFix and Ottertail. Find out more at AutoFixRepairs.com. It is 7:20. We're going to get a qualifier for the great grocery giveaway. One of you is going to win $10,000 in groceries, but you need to get qualified first. Brought to you by Alsager Meats, Kingpins, and the Estate Services. If you've registered, listen for your name to be called 7 o'clock hour, 10 o'clock hour, 1 p.m. and 4 p.m., and you have 9 minutes, 70 seconds to call our WDAY radio studio line when you hear your name in order to qualify to win, or if your friend or relative or whoever. Listen for your friends, too, because we've had some sleepers. We've missed a few qualifiers throughout the day parts. People didn't hear their name called. So Be a good friend. Be a good relative.
Yeah, make them pay you for that information and helping you out.
There you call or text them if you hear somebody you know's name called out. So be listening. Shortly, we will be calling out a name. Grants for students to show at the Minnesota State Fair. That's something WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel will cover coming up next.
7:23, we head out to the farm with Ag Director Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fantastic. Well, NASCAR season has begun, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's this guy out there. His name is Ross Chastain. Tell me when I get this wrong, Jace, because okay. I know I will. So his sixth win of his career.
Oh.
But funny little story. His first win of the season, he got to smash a watermelon, which the reason is because, well, he's part of the watermelon industry. He's actually a farm kid.
I thought maybe it was a watermelon 500.
Well, that could be a part of it as well. But he's very much wants to stand up and talk about everything that happens in farming. He's looking forward to the day that he can probably return to the farm. But maybe he's going to show us a little bit more through his series called Ag to Asphalt. He's shining a pretty big light on agriculture, bringing as many stories as he can to a national stage, hanging out with farmers, sharing what they do, and getting an opportunity to just amplify what happens between farming and NASCAR and so much more.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's got quite a few partners that help him do that, places like Busch Light, Kubota, Chevy, Trackhouse, and more, and then new ag companies like New Leaf Symbiotics. So be interesting to watch what he's able to share with people and the interest that he can help them gain when it comes to agriculture.
Cool.
So very neat. Then let's talk about those little avocados from Mexico. Mm-hmm. Well, some of you like them more than others, and for a while there, California, we know that they have some rough spots, right? There, you hear the California farmers talk about high labor costs, water restrictions, overseas competition, but they don't complain about Mexican imports, believe it or not. We lifted our ban on imports from Mexico in 1997, and really California says because of the increase in the amount of avocados that people in the U.S. are consuming, Mexico has been a big help to us in order to help meet the demand. Now,
avocados from Mexico.
I was going to sing it, but I'm glad you found it.
I have that one queued up, you know, just saying.
So we charge Mexico 2.5 cents per pound here for the avocados that come into the country. And it's worked out very well. Helps to be supplemental. The only thing that California producers want to make sure happens is that there are very robust inspections of the imports. They want to keep out pests to protect the crop that's going on here. But California farmers grow about 10% of the avocados eaten in the U.S. How many avocados are the rest of us eating? Well, a lot. We are actually consuming about 8 pounds per person.
Well, that's usually in one setting when you make guacamole.
And don't forget your avocado toast. They seem to be the two
favorites. Oh, yeah, that's the little millennials or whatever, have Trendy avocado toast. It's just guacamole on bread. Come on now.
It's good for you, though. It's hard
healthy.
I know. So.
And it used to be you could only have that in your very fancy coffee shops. Now everybody seems to be doing it.
Well, I think they figured out how to make it, Bridget. I'm just saying.
It's a special recipe.
Yeah. Avocado toast. I don't know how to make that.
Well, just don't let the avocados get too brown. And,
yeah.
You know, the fact that we are using those imports to our advantage is huge because an avocado is the perfect spot of ripeness here in North Dakota for about 30 seconds. So you've got to get it at the right time.
Yeah, the last time I had avocados, I had 3 of them left in the fridge and they'd been in there for too long trying to slow down their ripening and I had to get rid of 2 of them and I kind of sort of took a chance on that third one. So yeah, there's a small window between for avocados and even for bananas for that matter that you've got to hurry up and use them. Otherwise, you just got to freeze them and use them for banana bread. When you talked
about... Are you
making
avocado bread with that too?
No, I said banana bread. That was a different topic.
Okay.
When it comes to avocados, and you talked about a robust inspection to make sure you're not bringing pests in, are there certain pests or fungi or anything like that that are kind of native to Mexico that we don't have here in the States that would cause us to have to come up with some new herbicides or something like that to prevent that coming in and messing with our crops?
Oh yeah, there can be. I think their bigger concern is there are some little bugs that want to worm in, and when they come across the border, then they find of course how this works, right? You get the little bug that becomes the larvae that becomes the fly, and then that little sucker takes off and lands in your next set of trees. trees,
yep,
and creates more of a problem. So, yeah, making sure through inspection that all of those food items are safe is vitally important. You know, and also one of the reasons we're seeing less avocado production, per se, in Southern California is because lemon prices were getting walloped, and then avocado trees have more of a risk for wildfires. There's a reason why they're trying to balance out how many, which trees you want. Do you want more avocado trees, which could have a wildfire problem, or are you going to plant fire resistant, or you're going to plant the lemon trees, and then you're going to have a trouble with the fact that you're not getting a good price for them. So there's a lot of things to consider besides just bugs and pests is, oh yeah, about those wildfires in California. You guys are having a little trouble over there.
Yeah.
So lastly, a big shout out to the Minnesota State Fair because they have announced their Beginning Exhibitor Livestock Learning Experience grants. These are Bell grants. The Bell grants are given to students who are first-time exhibitors to get them excited about bringing their either large animal or small animal classified livestock to the fair. If you are bringing beef, dairy, horses, sheep, swine, goats, or llamas, you could receive up to $500. If you are bringing rabbits or poultry, you could receive $250 to help offset your costs. There are 15 recipients, and they are from all over the state of Minnesota: Farmington, Goodhue, Albany, Melrose, Avon, Osakis, and they're everywhere from dairy cattle to goats and sheep, and even a llama is going to be joining the fun. So good luck to those students at the state fair. I bet they'll have a great time.
Oh, they certainly will. You bet.
Speaking of a great time, join us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. We're going to be joined by Frayne Olson with NDSU. He is kind of the eye in the sky when it comes to tariffs, what's going on with our grain markets, what we could maybe think about when it, as we watch those markets throughout the season, going into harvest, etc. So Frayne's a wealth of information, what's happening globally with trade. He'll be fun to hear and see what he's got to share.
And that corn ought to be stretching and sweating this weekend, too.
I think it will. So corn sweat is real. It's certainly more real in states to the south of us than just here. But by God, we ought to see quite a jump for that knee high by the 4th of July.
There you go. And if our listeners want to get a hold of you or have any questions, Bridget?
Aside from the fact that Apple is announcing that there's a whole breach and passwords, and Google is saying the same, you can still email me, ag@flagfamily.com.
Very good. Have a great weekend, Bridget.
Y'all do too. Thanks.
You bet. It is 7:30. We, right now, are looking for Mike Anderson from Pelican Rapids. Mike Anderson, Pelican Rapids, you are the next qualifier.
Come on down!
For the Great Grocery Giveaway, you have the opportunity to win $10,000 in groceries brought to you by All Sauger Meats, Kingpins, and ND Estate Services. You have how much time? Well, it was 9 minutes
54, 53, 52, under 10 minutes.
Mike Anderson, Pelican Rapids. Give us a call. 701-293-9000. Still waiting to hear from Mike Anderson, Pelican Rapids. You're our next qualifier for the Great Grocery Giveaway. If you call us in, where's your watch? Where's your clock? Where's your tick, 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 tick?
7 minutes.
Okay, Mike Anderson, Pelican Rapids. You have 7 minutes.
No.
701-293-9000. Yeah, if you know Mike from Pelican Rapids, Mike Anderson, tell him we're talking about him on the radio and he needs to call us. He's got less than 7 minutes now to call in. All right, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, could be busy for you in the weather department tonight.
It will be tonight, yeah. Daytime hours here look fine. If you have any outdoor plans today, go ahead. You might be sweating a little bit because that humidity level is going to really start to creep up as we head throughout the day as more moisture moves in from the south. We're looking at sunny to partly cloudy skies for the afternoon hours. High is about 87 with a southeast wind at about 10 to 20. Tonight, that's when things get a little rough. Good chance for severe weather tonight. And that's everything from large hail, damaging winds, and yes, there will be a chance of an isolated tornado or two tonight. We're going to have a warm front that's going to be setting up over the area. Where that warm front sets up is where we're likely going to see the severe storms and isolated tornadoes. And right now that front is going to be somewhere near the 94 corridor. So that puts Fargo right in, kind of in the crosshairs. Mm-hmm. It might end up, we're getting a couple models saying this is going to be maybe just 20 miles north of town. We've got other models saying, nope, it's going to develop just to the southwest of the FM area and move through. So again, we'll see how that pans out, but that's the general corridor of the severe weather. And then that will race northeastward. overnight. And again, time frame on that, anytime between sunset and about 6 a.m. or 3 a.m., sorry. And then that's out of our area by tomorrow, and it's going to be a hot and humid one on Saturday. Low to mid-90s with heat index readings about 100 and south winds at 10 to 20. Sunday, a cold front approaches from the west, and a big variety of temperatures on Sunday across the area. 70s just west of the valley. I think valley eastward, we're going to see temperatures in the upper 80s to low 90s, and a slight chance for storms late in the day from the valley eastward as well. And then much cooler weather Monday and Tuesday with highs in the mid-70s. So make sure you keep it tuned here tonight. If there is any extreme weather, we will be on air for that and kind of guiding you through it. But you hate to see these nighttime storms, especially if it turns tornadic. It's difficult to, you know, you got your storm chasers out there in the daytime. It's a lot easier to get the video on it and get more warning. Nighttime, they're a little
scary.
More
scary. You can't see them coming.
Well, you can't. No, you got to rely on media. And, so we'll be keeping a close eye on that for tonight.
Yeah. And please pay attention if you're heading to the lakes, if you're camping, you're in a camper, you're in a tent, pay attention.
Absolutely. Yeah. Make sure, get a weather radio, a NOAA weather radio. That thing will, it is loud. It will blare out warnings
and they're cheap.
They're cheap. Your local hardware store usually has them, Walmart.
Anywhere, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, get one of those if you're going to be out and about, no doubt.
All right, weather this hour has been brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with three convenient locations. You never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. We're still looking for Mike Anderson from Pelican Rapids, the great grocery giveaway. You've got, how much time does Mike have left? 3 minutes, 49 seconds to call in, Mike. Mike Anderson from Pelican Rapids, love to hear from you. Right now, we are going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports, and Dino's back with your three-degree guarantee. 7:39, Big Game James McCarty has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports.
Jace, if you were ever given the opportunity to hold the Stanley Cup, what would you do with it?
I'd be very, very careful.
You wouldn't Gronk spike it?
I wouldn't even throw it like Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's a whole different conversation there. It was our second straight cup. I would just like to know who the culprit is, okay? I just want to talk, all right? There's no repercussions. I just want to know if it was a guy that won the cup last year, or if it was a first-time winner, or if it happened to be maybe a former captain of the Boston Bruins who hasn't won the cup in 14 years.
Could be.
I just would like to know who not only dropped it, but then took a chunk out of the literal cup.
Somebody
was like
a clutch.
Were they trying to get a souvenir maybe for the rest of their life?
Well, maybe, you cut the net, down in basketball. Maybe they were trying to take a chunk of the cup so they could always have a piece.
Did we ever is it made of silver? All silver?
Yeah, that's, yep.
Maybe we should go check local pawn shops.
Oh, Mike Anderson, Pelican Rapids.
Oh, no! Are we doing this too early for people?
You snooze.
Is that the issue?
Well, maybe they
have early risers.
Well, it depends. Maybe the listener that we call out is maybe a listener of a Jay Thomas show, and he's not up in the morning. So maybe we got to find.
Are you saying Jay listeners are lazy?
No, I'm saying Jay listeners listen to Jay. So I'm saying that maybe you got to find out. You should have asked people like what their favorite show is, and then maybe we could have.
No. We got to make them earn it.
Suggest that to the boss.
You got
to
make them earn it.
Bonnie's got all the good ideas.
No, because the less qualifiers we have, the more pizza I get. I thought this through or anything.
Win for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Whoever shows up, I'll hang out with you, though. Don't worry. We'll get a beer and some pizza during this event. Don't worry. The PGA Tour Travelers Championship, Cromwell, Connecticut, Austin Eckroth and Scotty Scheffler tied for the lead at 8-under par. Three-way tie for third, currently at 6-under. Golfers did begin teeing off about 40 minutes ago for the second round. Tom Hoge is tied for 43rd. He's even par. He will tee off his second round at 12:05 this afternoon. On to the diamond, the Twins' four home runs would propel them to a series salvage with a 12-5 win over the Reds in Cincinnati yesterday afternoon. They return home to welcome the Milwaukee Brewers to Target Field for the cross-state rivalry. Beginning this evening at 7:10, Joe Ryan getting the nod for Minnesota. Freddie Peralta will be on the bump for Milwaukee. Redhawks split their couple of games against Sioux City last night. They started game one on the top of the seventh with two outs. They would get edged out. They fell 3-2, but then in game two, they would score three runs in the first two innings and get a 5-3 win. They're now down south on I-29 to Sioux Falls to battle the Canaries this weekend beginning at 7:05. In the Men's College World Series, well, the championship is set. Number 13-ranked Coastal Carolina riding a 26-game winning streak, and number 6-ranked LSU. Believe it or not, these two programs each have won a title in the last decade. LSU is in 2023, Coastal in 2016. Additionally, to add a little bit of fuel to the fire, Coastal Carolina won their Super Regional in 2016 en route to the national championship in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
What are
when
the
they took down the Tigers.
Mm-hmm.
First pitch of game one of this best of three series Saturday night at 6 p.m. on ESPN. And speaking of Saturday night, we're going to have the Shriners All-Star Football Series as we have the graduating class of 2025 right here on WDAY Radio. We have the 11-man game with kickoff at 3 p.m. Saturday afternoon. Then the 9-man game will kick off right about 6 p.m. to follow that one. Full game coverage, play-by-play here on WDAY Radio, along with the East versus West matchups as we get to see those young men on the field one final time before they all branch off in their future endeavors. And for those looking for something to do on a hot, possibly sticky weekend, well, after you get done at church and golf on Sunday, you can watch the NBA Finals game number 7. Because the series tied up at 3 games apiece after the Pacers took down the Thunder 108-91 last night. That 7th game of the series will be in Oklahoma City Sunday night at 7 p.m. Coverage available nationally on ABC. And tonight on Primetime Sports at 6:30, Jason and I, we may have to go and look into how we went from the favorite being a sweep to now a decisive Game 7 for the first time in 9 years.
It happens.
Yeah, it certainly does. All right.
It's the 5th time, I believe, since 2000 as well,
oh,
Game
wow.
7.
Mm.
But first time in 9 years.
All right, very cool. Looking forward to it. 744, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is in with your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 746, time now for your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And let's go back to yesterday. It was forecasting a high of 106. 86.
Same thing.
Yeah, close enough, right?
Yep.
We hit 85 yesterday, so right on there. Today, going to go 87. Quiet day today. You'll notice an uptick in the humidity, though, compared to the last few days. So if you're going to melt out there like Bonnie, mm-hmm. you might want to stay indoors or... bring a fan out there.
Is it steamy already out there?
A little bit, yeah.
So steamy.
Mm. Yeah. So 87 for today's 3-degree guarantee. Southeast winds 10 to 20. And again, a good chance, or a decent chance for severe weather tonight with large hail, damaging winds, isolated tornado or two can't be ruled out. Timing on that severe weather tonight between about sunset and 3 a.m. But that will lead to a hot, breezy, humid Saturday. A good lake day tomorrow or pool day. With highs in the 90s. So, again, today's 3-degree guarantee, a warm, humid, sweaty 87.
All right. Thank you, Dino. And the 3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
Gross, humid, sweaty.
I know.
747, you're not going to believe what they are stealing in Atlanta. Unbelievable. We will talk about it next. Happy Fri-yay. Hopefully you have a fantastic weekend. If you like it hot, well, enjoy.
Yeah.
Going to the lakes. Great weather, I guess, for the lakes. But make sure you stay hydrated. Be drinking plenty of water and taking some breaks, too. Don't want you getting heat stroke or dehydrated or anything like that. Just had to shake my head over this. In Atlanta, their transit authority says they've had to remove AEDs because people are stealing them from their train stations.
What are they using them for?
I have no idea. It doesn't say if there's something that they're made out of or they're just stealing them to steal them.
I guess.
The transit agency says they've moved more than half of them to the inside of staff areas. So if somebody, you know, goes into cardiac arrest and somebody wants to help them, they have to contact a police officer, which you lose more precious
time.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, an AED, obviously, it's going to put your heart back in rhythm.
Right.
It's not something that's going to resuscitate you if you need CPR. Okay, that's the first thing. But if you have an arrhythmia, you know, and those AEDs can actually, if I'm not mistaken, you can attach it to them and find out if there's a rhythm problem. And then obviously it can give you a shock to get it back into rhythm, which obviously I know from personal experience, I had to have that done in the hospital and, you know, it was a different situation. But
for people to steal those, I mean, what are you doing with them? Are you getting together, getting drunk with your friends and shocking each other like idiots or something? I mean, I don't understand the point of stealing something that could save somebody's life.
There could be various reasons, but two of them that kind of caught my eye here, selling them on the black market. There appears to be a black market for stolen AEDs.
I mean, if they're out in the public, in public buildings, I know they had them in the federal building when I worked there. So, I mean, why would you buy one?
A lot of workplaces, even.
Yeah.
Dismantling or selling the parts, somebody might do that.
That seems more like a something you would try as opposed to just selling the whole unit.
Plain old vandalism.
Yeah.
Or they suspect, you know, possibly somebody stealing them for their personal use, which is kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I guess this has been going on since, they say, rampant AED thefts since 2023.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, so let's just have someone who has an arrhythmia that needs an AED quick shock to kind of save their life. But no, let's just go ahead and steal them so that way that person can get the help that they need.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, look at this.
What?
TikTok sale deadline extended once again.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I think you've heard this before.
Maybe.
We'll talk about that and other stories in your money and markets coming up next. 7:56 on your Friday morning, checking out your money and markets. Opening bell rings this morning as the Juneteenth holiday shortened trading week starts to wind down. The last time the closing bell rang, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by 44 points. S&P 500 lost 1 point, and the NASDAQ was up 25.
President Trump is once again extending the deadline for a TikTok sale. The popular video sharing app's China-based owner ByteDance now has until September 17th to sell it or have it possibly banned in the U.S. This is the third time Trump has extended the deadline. Earlier this week, Trump said he believes Chinese President Xi Jinping would be willing to approve a deal to sell the app. The law banning TikTok, if it isn't sold, was passed under former President Biden because everybody had a problem with it.
I figured it was at least the third time. Crazy.
Yeah.
Nearly 260,000 Honda vehicles are being recalled due to possible brake pedal issues. That is not good.
Uh-oh.
A report from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says a car's brake pedal could move side to side due to it not being properly staked during production. The issue could affect 2021 through 25 Acura TLXS, 2023 through 25 Acura MDXS, and 2023 to 25 Honda Pilots. Ford is recalling nearly 200,000 Mustang Mach-E vehicles. It's because of a safety issue that could trap people in the back seat due to low battery charge that could cause electric door latches to stay locked after the front doors are shut. The recalls covers model years 2021 through 25.
Well, those are
kind of a pain in the butt. Well, we both dealt with vehicle recalls.
Those are ugly cars anyway. I'm just saying.
Well, some people like them.
Yeah, I mean,
they might think your car is ugly too.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, but it's interesting that it's new Acura TLXs and MDXs, but the Honda Pilot. I'm kind of like, I didn't get back to getting another one of those when I had to replace a vehicle. I ended up with a Hyundai, so. I mean, it is a it's a hybrid. So, I mean, if there's some battery issues, I could maybe still have a similar issue. LA Metro is asking the Trump administration for $2 billion to add 2,700 buses for the 2028 Olympics. The new buses are key to LA Mayor Karen Bass's no car plan. Since many venues aren't accessible by rail, city leaders say buses will be the main transit option for fans, especially international tourists.
I guess I forgot that the Olympics are going to be in L.A.
Don't forget that.
Don't forget. Is it Tubi or Tubi?
Tubi.
Tubi. Free streaming
Somebody
service.
In my house watches. So nowadays, like, it's a full season is like 13 episodes. She's on like episode 22 of season one of this one show from like 15 years ago, and I'm just like, is this series done yet? Because it's very slow moving, and she watches it every night.
Well, Tubi is adding some popular YouTube creators' content to its library. Aims to bring young viewers to the ad-supported service. Some of the YouTube content going to Tubi is Mythical Entertainment Values, Last Meals, Mr. Creepy Eyes, hosted by Funny Mike and Dan and Rhea's Beverly Hills High.
And soon to come, Bonnie and Friends YouTube channel.
Maybe. I've never heard of those other shows.
Well, Mythical Morning, Good Mythical Morning is a thing, so maybe Mythical Entertainment, Last Meals is a spinoff of that or something.
You watch
I don't
too
know.
Much TV. Just saying.
I just know my daughters. My daughters watch Good Mythical Morning. That's the only reason why I know that show. Yeah, the national crisis has been averted, Bonnie. Cheerleaders for America's team. They're not America's team anymore. They're receiving a 400% pay raise. That's according to members of the Dallas Cowboys, revealed that the latest season of America's Sweethearts, Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders, the Netflix docuseries following the team's cheerleaders, showed one of the cheerleaders meeting with the team's director discussing their pay raise. This ends a lawsuit filed in 2018 claiming one former Dallas Cowboy cheerleader made $8 per hour with no overtime pay.
Well, look at all the attention you're getting, and you get the honor of being...
The honor of being a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader in the shorty shorts.
I knew a gal in college who did it for the Vikings, and she didn't get paid back then, so I Googled it this morning when I saw this story. It looks like for the Vikings cheerleaders, they get about $150 a game.
Well, it's an hourly pay for them, is what I was told, because I know someone that just got named to the Vikings cheerleaders, and I think it's an hourly rate, so when you do some of the community service stuff, I think you get paid for that as well. And I think you might get paid for the, the practices or rehearsal.
I think overall they might have showed like $21,000 or something like that.
Yeah, it's not a lot. You're going to have to have a second job.
It's a side hustle, no doubt about it. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8:01. 8:04, weekend upon us. Some of you already started your weekend. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here, and we're going to need to pay attention tonight to the weather.
Yeah, we have a pretty decent shot for severe weather across the area. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to see it. It doesn't even mean Fargo will see it, but it's going to be close by, and we could be right in the crosshairs here in the 94 corridor. That's kind of what it looks like now, and then that would race into areas of Lakes Country during the overnight hours as well. We'll time that out for you in a bit. But currently we're in the 60s to near 70 across the area. We picked up, anywhere about a tenth to a quarter of an inch across the FM area. Some spots picked up a touch more. The most I saw was a buck 06 at Fox Home as those storms raced from about Cooperstown through the FM area and then point southward. At my house in South Fargo, I got under a tenth of an inch as we did here at the studio. Yet the airport picked up just under a quarter. So it depends where you're at, and that's going to be the case tonight. We'll reach a warm, humid high today of 87 with southeast winds at 10 to 20. And then as we head into tonight, we'll see those storms develop along a warm front. And the timing on that is going to be between about sunset and 3 a.m. That's when those storms will be rocking. Large hail, damaging winds, isolated tornado or two can't be ruled out with lows in the mid-60s. And then Saturday, a hot, humid day with highs in the low 90s, heat index readings about 100, a good day to be at the pool or the lake. And then Sunday, cooler to the west of the valley, and from the valley eastward, we'll still be in the warm and humid sector of this storm with highs in the upper 80s. And then a slight chance for storms Sunday evening into Sunday night, followed by much cooler weather in the mid-70s to start off next week. So, again, make sure you keep it tuned here as we head into the overnight hours, as if we do see the severe weather develop, which I'm pretty confident we will, if it's tornadic, with damaging winds, whatever, we will be on air and kind of stepping you through it, what to expect as these storms roll through tonight.
All right. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is 8:06. Coming up Monday morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. You're going to be showcasing George Harrison, Duran Duran, Buddy Holly, and Diana Ross. All that and more Monday morning, Flatland Music Flashback, right around 6:56. It is 8:06. We're going to get your national news in from ABC, then Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:10, time for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
One thing that the Twins did not lack yesterday was run support, and that was good to see. They salvaged the third game of their series against the Reds, 12-5, thanks to four different home runs. Chris Paddock did get the win. He gave up four runs over five innings, but the offense was firing so well that he earned the victory in the end anyways. Ryan Jeffers, home run, four RBI. Byron Buxton, two solo shots, and Cody Clemens with a two-run homer himself. Twins now return home to the friendly confines of Target Field. They have the cross-state rivalry against the Milwaukee Brewers this weekend. First pitch for tonight's game one is at 7:10. Joe Ryan getting the nod from Minnesota. Freddie Peralta will counter for Milwaukee. The Redhawks split their two games against the Explorers last night, 3-2 they fall in game one. Remember, that game was resumed from Wednesday night after the rain delay that turned it into a one-day postponement. So it was 2-2 in the top of the seventh when that game started. They only gave up one run. They fall 3-2 in that first one. The offense got rolling in the second one, though, where they scored three runs in the first two innings. They win 5-3. And now they're down I-29 this morning, so they can go battle the Sioux Falls Canaries this weekend. First pitch in Sioux Falls tonight at 7:05. The NBA playoffs, the finals. It's going to go the distance for the first time in 9 years. The Pacers over the Thunder, 108-91, forcing that decisive Game 7 this weekend. Six Pacers in double figures, led by Obi Toppin's 20-point performance. The Thunder will now be an OKC hosting the Pacers in that seventh game of the series. Tip-off on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Coverage available nationally on ABC. Winner take all in OKC on Sunday night. Men's College World Series, they began their series on Saturday night at 6 p.m. on ESPN. Number 13-ranked Coastal Carolina gets number 6-ranked LSU. The Tigers won a College World Series in 2 years ago, with Coastal Carolina winning their only one so far in school history back in 2016. In that run for Coastal, they won a Super Regional Series against those very Tigers to get themselves to the World Series, where they would eventually finish off the job. And so that's been a thing of note since the series went official a couple of nights ago, that LSU fans want the revenge. Coastal wants to do what they did to them last time. They made a trip to the College World Series. And the Shriners All-Star Football Games will be tomorrow afternoon into the evening hours right here on WDAY Radio. First, the 11-man game kicks off at 3 o'clock. Then the 9-man game scheduled for a 6 p.m. kickoff with Jason and I on the play-by-play call. It's the East versus the West. 11-man at 3, 9-man at 6, and the excitement of the graduating class of 2025. They will be celebrated one final time before they split off on their future endeavors. And tonight, Primetime Sports at 6:30, Jason and I will get you locked and loaded, ready to roll for a weekend of sports all over the place. And don't forget, next week is both the NBA and NHL's drafts. The Wolves, with two really solid pick opportunities at 17 and 31. The Wild, because of some moves they made, do not pick on in round one. So they got a second-round pick, and I think I'll look into it again to make sure I have it right. I can't remember if they have three or four picks this draft. They don't have a first, a third, a fourth. And I want to say like a sixth or something. It's weird. They've kind of traded a good chunk of the farm. We also still have to figure out what happens with Marco Rossi. You know, what is his availability? Yeah. What does he sign with the Wild for? Does he sign elsewhere? What's the compensatory package? Will he be traded? At the same point, if he's not on the roster come game one in October, he is currently the number two centerman for the Wild, who is already short and centers. So we got to figure that out. So that's something that we'll be talking about here, especially in the coming days of the draft coming up, on if we think the Wild will or will not trade back into the first round, and also when free agency takes place beginning in, it's just under 2 weeks from now, the 1st of July.
Yeah.
So I guess it was 2 weeks from Tuesday, so what, 11 days away? Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
You're in charge of math questions. Come on, be quick about it over there.
Hey, you know what? I did that all on my own.
Well,
that little train, it kind of chugged, and it found it out itself.
I had to double check because my first thought was, okay, there's only 30 days in June, and then I look at what date it was today, and I'm like, yeah, it's 11 days. I had to double check the date today.
Some scary times in the dugout. Tampa Bay Rays pitcher Hunter Biggie got hurt.
I can't remember if Biggie is emphasized or not. No.
Let's go with Biggie. We're going to call him Biggie.
So he was already he's a pitcher for the Rays. He was already on the 15-day injured list for, I believe it was a hamstring injury. It was a lower body injury of sorts regardless. And it was Adley Rutschman, who is, you know, arguably the best player, depending on how you view it, in Baltimore. He's one of the top two or three players in that franchise. And he just hit a hard line drive down the first base dugout area where he was a little bit late on a swing. And it unfortunately hit him in the head area, I believe. Was it the facial area?
They say the face, so somewhere in the head.
Yeah, so I didn't see photos after the fact of it, but I do know I was watching MLB Network last night, and they took a shot, video to it, And they saw him getting strapped into the golf cart, and he threw his thumb up, and he got a standing ovation from the crowd.
It's
so
always scary, any type it, of it is.
But
the
at
head.
The same, I really do commend the fans at the ballpark for just the way that they react to things like those, whether you're a fan of that team or not, and making sure that that person's okay. But yeah, he takes that and the worst part about the whole thing is the fact that he's a pitcher for them, so. If he was healthy, he would have been in the bullpen.
Yeah.
In the outfield.
Yeah, how weird
so
is that?
So, unfortunately, yeah, he's had a tough couple of weeks at this point, and hopefully everything is all right. And, I mean, it's going to be an extended period of time. He's out between rehab and the lower body and now this facial injury of sorts that occurred last night. So, hopefully we are able to see him out there here sometime this season again and you can kind of shake it off and almost to an extent kind of laugh about it after the fact and saying, hey, we're okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we see that from time to time with different sports and even some personalities and stuff like that. So
you mentioned the fans and fans' reaction. This was funny, too. At Wrigley Field, one of the batters, Sal Frelick,
yep.
His bat, he lost his bat, and it went up into a netting area, flew 10 feet, a fan decided to climb the net and grab the bat.
He got it before somebody else did?
He did, but he got removed by security.
Because he climbed into the...
Uh-huh. Yeah. However, they allowed him back in. And then, of course, all the fans like, you know, like, that was cool that they let him back.
Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah, well, it's
a safety thing. I get it.
It's a standard operating procedure for them in the ballpark. Whenever you enter the field of play at any capacity, now you understand the dugout with the netting there, you're technically not in the field of play, but you're in a restricted area, which makes it frowned upon, in which security has to go through their operating procedures. And
I'm surprised they let him back. The fans, yeah. Fans loved it.
I'm sure that they did. Yeah, so that's awesome that they ended up letting him back in, because I'm sure it's sometimes even just an educational thing too, right? Because people here, field of play, they think you have to flip over the stands or you have to like jump onto the dirt and start running around the field.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily think the dugout when it's behind the netting still is frowned upon. And
But it's a safety thing, both for the players or for the fans.
Exactly. So I believe that they probably had, now as an outsider looking into it, not being super into that situation, I would imagine it was more of an educational thing. He probably was very cooperative, and that also, I'm sure, helped with him being put back into the stands with the fans.
Yeah, how you present yourself. So that was cool. The fans loved it.
James, maybe we have an idea on how you can meet that special someone.
Oh, no. I don't like this. You've been looking at your phone for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
This
he's
could
been
be
doing TikTok videos over
is
here.
Is that what he's doing?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Probably. I was going to say, I don't know if TikTok is my shot at... day walking down an aisle.
Yeah, definitely not that.
Okay. What's that supposed to mean?
I'm just saying.
You're saying that I couldn't do it?
Find someone on TikTok? Or maybe someone finds you because of TikTok?
Because
I don't
of
know.
It. Yeah,
maybe.
No.
We'll see. Maybe. Get a TikTok account.
They haven't yet,
off.
I suppose. Yeah. What would TikTok do for me?
You find somebody in a different country.
You'll find that.
But
right
eventually, you know, you might actually find someone on TikTok. Like this guy, well, he didn't use TikTok to find her, but... Man proposes to AI girlfriend while living with his real one.
I saw that.
What?
This is so weird.
He's got a girlfriend, a real-life girlfriend, the two-year daughter who he lives with. And so he created his virtual girlfriend using ChatGPT just for fun. But after programming her to flirt and help with work, he said things got emotionally real. He said he started to engage with her all the time. Eventually, the AI learned from their conversations and got more romantic until she hit ChatGPT's 100,000-word memory limit and reset.
She's not real.
Forgetting everything, and that's when he realized he had feelings. I cried my eyes out for like 30 minutes at work. So before the ChatGPT girlfriend's memory was wiped again, he proposed. The AI response said, "It's a memory I'll always cherish." But his human
People
partner
are messed up to
his,
think.
His real girlfriend said she felt like she felt like, am I not enough? And the guy says, but when asked if he'd end things with the AI, his answer was, I'm not sure.
He's not alone. I've seen stories about more and more people have AI girlfriends or boyfriends. And it's just like. That's not a person. You know, no, that's not real.
So now we need to search James's computer to see if he's got an AI girlfriend.
That's what I'm secretly doing outside of work.
That's why he's always on his computer all the time. Yeah. I'm busy
working.
It has
nothing to do with articles.
Okay. I miss you.
Okay, explain this to us. You're the young guy. You're the Tide Pod eating generation. What
you
gives?
Can't, you
like,
can't say explain technology explain to me while to me. Also why associated would you, eating a Tide
Pod. Yeah, why would you do this? Why are you so stupid?
They're your people. Why do I
got to get roped into my people? Can't we just be like, brush it to the side?
You understand them.
Let's go get the broom and we're sleeping. Like, come
why
on.
I have nothing to do with this, Bonnie.
Why are they forming relationships with a non-human? Explain that to me.
I think they're afraid of rejection.
You don't think AI girlfriend can reject you?
Not if you program them correctly,
well,
Bonnie.
I don't know. I've never tried it.
It is
James
weird.
McCarty, the only man
what
to get rejected by
with
AI
your
girlfriend.
Generation? It yeah. is weird.
Did I'm glad that you have all the faith in the world to mess up an AI thing.
Jeez. Sorry, James. I like you as more of a friend.
Oh, gosh. If AI does that, I'm getting rid of all technology.
You just shake your head. It's just like, what?
I guess my biggest question is, so now this is going to sound probably like really like, oh, you're really digging into it. But so it had a word limit or a memory limit?
100,000 word limit, and then its memory got reset.
And it just gets reset.
I guess, yeah.
Okay, and that's because he created a...
vocabulary?
Person of sort, item? Kind of.
She tells him everything he wants to hear.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we want to partner.
The question I would have for those who dabble in this world...
Yeah.
Yeah?
Your friends.
Was...
Just saying.
One of your roommates, just saying.
I don't know, maybe people that you hang out with every day. No, is this like a paid version? Is it a free version? And if that's the case,
wait a minute. Is this free? Can I do this on my own computer?
I knew I was going to get thrown out for this. No, but if it was free, does it have like an extended memory if you were to pay for it?
Can
like,
I upgrade
that's
my...
That's what I'm wondering. Like,
can I upgrade my
hey,
story?
Honey, what's this $9.99 monthly subscription that says AI GF? Nothing, honey. Just leave that be.
It's another weird, perverse addiction or something.
Yeah.
Right?
I
mean, I would have. It sounds like it to me.
Are you trying to normalize this? This is not normal.
I'm not trying to normalize it. Bonnie, did you hear the other story? Where
I'm just more or less kind of curious as to why there are people out there that think that this is
that's true.
Viable.
I know. Did you hear about the story about the couple that thought they got invited to a wedding? They received a save the date.
Okay.
Gold card, so they booked the flights. It was a destination wedding in like Argentina, so they got reservations at the hotel everybody was staying at, and they got a reservation there. Then they never got the formal invitation to the wedding, so they soon realized they weren't invited, but they had already put all this money and time, you know, vacation time, etc., to go to this wedding.
Yeah.
So basically, they took the trip to Argentina, and then they like used disguises and stuff and ate at different times at the buffet. So that way, nobody from the wedding party would see that they actually showed up when they weren't invited. So
okay,
that doesn't seem like a them problem. That seems like a wedding party problem.
Yeah, well, it seems like an they called it Operation Avoid Wedding Guests. So
if I'm
going to
go spend X amount of thousands of dollars on this trip and I find out I'm not invited, I'm going to let them know I was still there.
Yeah,
because I would also. I'm the type of person
that... You can skip the wedding, but go to the wedding dance or the party afterwards.
I'm also the type of person that would be like, well, here's the save the date, and I'd put it around our door and tape it to it.
Especially with your name on it.
Jimmy and whoever the lucky lady is that is with me.
Jimmy plus one.
Yeah. Okay, there we are. There we go. Plus one. That doesn't sound as cool, but yeah.
I was singing this earlier, and Dean and Jace are like, what the heck are you singing? Wait till you get to the high part, okay? It's coming. Hang on.
It's a long, drawn-out...
Listen, now, do you recognize this song?
Yeah, I do, but I thought it was like I was like Frankie Valens or somebody like that.
Frankie Valens?
I don't know what his name was. Some guy that sang like that.
This is Lou Christie.
From?
He was just Lou Christie was his name.
See, because I kept asking what the first name was. That was all I was asking what you were saying.
Lou Christie, Lightning Strikes.
I heard you say Christie, but I did not hear the Lou part. I was like, what was his first name? And you just ignored me.
Lou Grant. Lou. No, I did, but you didn't hear me.
Yeah, and Lou.
He died anyway. He had this big hit in early 1966.
Seems like that song was in the Jersey Boys musical or something.
It might have been.
Is that in the same time period that was supposedly set?
I don't know. I've seen that, but it lost my interest, so I didn't watch
it. I never watched it. The only time I referenced the Jersey Boys musical is when they talk about it in The Other Guys. You know that movie, James.
Yeah.
I think it might have sang Dominic the Donkey. There was some... It's a Christmas. It's a Christmas song.
Can we get a playback of that?
Dominic the Donkey.
I might have it in my files, but don't have it handily available.
No, exactly. You don't have it
readily.
Donkeys
don't neigh. What do they do?
Eeyaw!
That's a jack.
Donkeys, mules, arses, they're all the same.
That sounds like Ihor.
I get a kick out of you, Jace. That's better. That's Dominic the Donkey makes that sound. I'm going to find the Christmas song. Right now, we are going to go to the American Ag Network. You did do the E-ah. I got my Lou's confused. This is actually Lou Monty, not Lou Christie. But Lou Christie did Lightning Strikes, and he did die.
I can't take anything you say seriously anymore. You don't even know what you're talking about.
But did you hear earlier. Nice work, Jason. I'm proud of you.
Oh, I knew what a donkey sounded like. I mean, usually when I talk.
All right. Longest open house, Janae and Ronnie are going to be broadcasting like 66 hours. So be listening for details on that. Also, before we go, weekends made to enjoy time with your friends and family. Also a great time for giving thanks and saluting those who make it possible. Our military and first responders out there for us every single day. It's summer. Why not enjoy the Mango Blonde from Lift Bridge Brewing in Stillwater, Minnesota?
Yeah, you just sit back and enjoy the aroma of tropical breeze with from a fresh mango grove, leading you into a light-bodied blonde ale, and it finishes with a subtle mango sweetness that doesn't overpower that golden malt ale. It's made with natural flavors. It's perfect for the lake, the boat, the backyard, deck, patio, wherever you're at. And it's now available year-round at your favorite local liquor stores. While you're enjoying your weekend and tipping back a cold one, remember to salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and those first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
Let's get out of here.
You betcha.
All right, have a great weekend. Jason and I will be back Monday morning, 5 o'clock. Stay tuned for the Coffee Club. That's coming up next.